using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Monday, the 23rd of August, year of our Lord, 2021, day 527 of America and the world held hostage. Today we're going to take a look at what has happened in Australia over the last week and especially over the last weekend. Stay with us. I can tell you that it is not going to be limited to Australia. What we're seeing there is a war against the people. It is a global war. It is going to be rolling out everywhere. It is just happening a little bit faster there, as we have the FDA expected to give full approval to the vaccine today. And they're already counting their profits. We'll be right back. Yes, we've had a lot happen over the weekend in Australia. There was a hashtag Free Australia over the weekend. And I like the way that Rebel News put it. The world needs to witness what the police did in Melbourne yesterday. This is part of the zero COVID disaster. People in Sydney have been placed under house arrest until October. As DailySkeptic.org reports, advocates of zero COVID have a lot to answer for. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has just announced that the three-day lockdown imposed earlier this week in response to one coronavirus case. That's right, a single case. And they had not had one in the particular town in Australia that they locked down since July of last year. So 13 months. And they started locking down cities there. Well, in New Zealand, it's been extended for a week following a rise in positive test results to a whopping 31. Now, nobody has died from this. These are PCR tests that we've been talking about for the last year, how invalid they are because they magnify any viral debris by a factor of a trillion. And if you're looking for anything, you can probably find it with a PCR test if you magnify it by a factor of a trillion. You can find any virus in anyone. That doesn't mean that they've got a viral load, that they're contagious. It's one of the reasons why people are not sick and test positive. And yet, 31 people, they've had, out of a population of 5 million, they have seen 26 COVID deaths in the last year and a half. How many other things have people died from? How many other things have people died from that they counted as COVID deaths? How many things have people died from because they did lockdowns? Meanwhile, in New South Wales, in Australia, they've announced that Sydney would remain locked down until the end of September. They've now got a 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew because, you know, again, as we've learned in America, you can't catch it except at night. This is a virus that comes out at night. New Zealand, again, only 26 cases. In Australia, they've had 974, not 26 cases, 26 deaths over the year, and 5 million people. Australia has chalked up 974 in a population of over 25 million. Folks, that's less than one death per 25 million. We typically give risks of deaths for various things based on 100,000, your risk per 100,000. This is less than one per 25 million. we start looking at things that are risky. They're 250 times more risky than this. And yet this is something that they're using to lock the entire country down, and it's just a pretense. So over the weekend, we had thousands of people marching in Melbourne. Police tried but failed to stop the mass gathering from occurring. They were successful in stopping the mass gathering in Sydney. There, they were blocking people coming into the city. So they had 250 protesters only. And they showed up with 1,500 cops. And, of course, there it got violent. Where you had the protesters outnumbering the police, it wasn't violent. What does that tell us about the police? That whenever they're in the majority, they act like a mob. They act like a gang. They start beating and harming people. That is true globally. Globally, it is true. It's true of our police. It's true of the police in every country. We have too many of them, just like we have too many laws. And this is medical tyranny. I want to show you, this is a recap, and you can also see some clips from this weekend. But a recap of some of the events over the last week and a half. And, of course, there was Marty, who went into this dystopian public square at night, basically nothing but cops, to protest. It was a 45-minute video. I showed you some of it. They eventually wound up arresting him under pretense. But just one cop after the other coming up and challenging him for his identity papers. And then he would finish with that one, and they'd come up, another one would come up to him. It's got clips in there of a family and a young girl who, as her family is being harassed for not wearing masks, as they get violent, as they pepper sprayed her brother and her sister, you can just hear her saying, look at this, as she's crying. There's also clips of children. There were three children who were separated from their parents and vaccinated that passed out. And then, of course, they put screens up to try to keep people from seeing that. All of that, plus the pushback this weekend. Okay, that's the pushback this weekend. I think we've got the wrong video label here, Travis. I wanted to do the... no, that's not it either. Okay, we don't have the one that I wanted. Can you pull the one in that is labeled Oz? That's the one that I wanted to run. Just over 55% of people over the age of 16 in New South Wales have now had at least one dose of COVID vaccine, with 29% fully vaccinated. On Thursday, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced that all Australians aged over 16 would be eligible for vaccination from the 30th of August, officially opening the program to an extra 8.6 million people. New South Wales is looking at ways to give vaccinated people more freedom in September when the state has reached 6 million jabs, but it is yet to outline the program. So as we see the fed-up people marching and hitting the streets in protest, this is what it looks like in a time-lapsed photography. There you go. They sped that up so you can see the massive number of people going by there in a short period of time. Look at that. That's absolutely amazing. And good for them. Good for them for standing up to this stuff. The violence that you saw with the Oz riot right there, that is in Sydney. And you can see them spraying them with pepper spray. That's what the cops do when they outnumber people, outnumber the citizens. Australians turned out in mass on Sunday. Australia has become more authoritarian than China. Absolutely. Thousands of protesters in Melbourne, Australia, largely peaceful. But in Sydney, we had 1,500 cops and 250 people. It got to be very violent, as you just saw there. You had police firing on unarmed crowds, spraying with rubber bullets. They had pepper spray. They had one video clip showed a young boy blinded and crying. This was all after a week that saw horrific video footage online through Australia of police beating up 12-year-olds for not wearing a mask, a child being ripped from a parent's arms, allegedly to inject her. Police just in general terrorizing the public for whatever reason they saw fit, using COVID as an excuse for everything, which is what we have seen for the last 527 days. As a matter of fact, we got a lot of clips from Donald Trump in his Alabama rally. Oh, he saved the world. Did you know that? Did you know that President Trump saved the world 527 days ago with his vaccine program? Well, if you don't know, he'll tell you again and again and again. I am so sick of that lying shill, that lying globalist shill. Why do people show up and follow this guy? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. It really is an idiocracy that we live in. And it's not just the crazy left. It's the crazy right as well. These people following their Pied Piper around like a bunch of lemmings. They even boo him when he starts talking about the vaccine, but they still love him. They still show up. They cannot connect the dots. This guy starts talking about inflation. And where did that start? Was it maybe the $4 trillion that he used to bribe people to enact this medical tyranny? That he bribed hospitals? That he bribed governors with? If you don't understand how that works, how that is how government works. Forget the Schoolhouse Rock and I'm a bill on Capitol Hill. That isn't how the government works. The way the government works is they print up phony money with the Federal Reserve and then they bribe people at every level to do exactly what they want. They use it as a carrot, as a stick. They can use it as a stick after you've gotten addicted to it. The money from the federal government is like opioid. It's like an opioid epidemic. People have become addicted to this massive flow of cash. So to keep this people from demonstrating in Sydney, they just blocked all the major roads of traffic into the city. Why not? They can do anything they want, you know, because it's COVID. They gave out 137 tickets after stopping 38,000 cars. 38,000 cars. Public safety is our first priority. How cynical is that in Australia? From about 10 a.m. local time, a police chopper began circling above what was believed to be the protest plan starting point. Police said about 250 people made it to the city for the protest. One of the alleged organizers of Saturday's protest, 29-year-old Anthony Kulouf, was sentenced to 8 months in prison, where he will spend at least 3 months for having failed to comply with public health orders, the public Nazis. Arbitrary. Whatever arbitrary orders they want. Anthony Kulouf, 29, one of the organizers of last month's anti-lockdown protests, a key figure in the broader movement surrounding it, was arrested by police in Sydney on Thursday trying to tamp this down. They decided that they would arrest him and send him to jail, that they would block all traffic coming into the city, stop 38,000 cars. He pled guilty to 4 counts of not complying with the direction relating to COVID, encouraging the commission of crimes, and false representation resulting in a police investigation. There's nothing here. We have all seen our countries turn into dictatorships overnight, whether it is America or whether it is Australia, New Zealand, Europe, across the world. It doesn't matter what political party. All of these politicians have been going to these globalist confabs at Davos and Bilderberg and so forth for years, the UN, for years. They're all on the same page. All these political parties are simply window dressing so you don't understand what's going on. Look at what they do. Don't look at the labels that they give themselves. Don't look at their campaign promises. Don't look at their bragging about what they have done. They're just flat out lying. Trump and Biden are just flat out lying about what they have done. Pay no attention to these people. Look at what they have done to us. And the difference between us and Australia is just a matter of time. What they're doing in Australia is what they want to do to everyone. It's just what people will put up with. And it's how quickly they want to boil the frogs. So on Friday afternoon, just before they had planned for another one of these big protests, they announced that this guy, Anthony Kulouf, was sentenced to a maximum of 8 months in prison with a non-parole period of 3 months. He's the founder of Australians versus the Agenda. Sounds like he knows exactly what's happening. And he's got about 12,000 followers on Telegram. Not that many, quite frankly. When you have people who are following you, most of them don't pay any attention to what you're doing, for example. I've seen people say, you know, I got millions of followers, but I don't think anybody is actually looking at what I do. And I have what is it, 128,000 or something on Twitter and 345,000 on Gab. Most people are not paying attention to what's happening on a regular basis. So for him to have 12,000, but they are worried enough about him that they're putting him in jail for 3 to 8 months. Literally fascism, wrote one person about this. Welcome commenting about his sentencing. Welcome to Nazi Germany. And that was a comment from not just anybody. That was a comment from the mayor of Sydney. The mayor of the town where the police set up roadblocks for every major road and stopped 38,000 cars. He did it in response to this guy being sentenced to jail, the 29-year-old Australian man. In a now-deleted tweet, the Sydney mayor compares strict new lockdown laws to Hitler-era regime. He says, imprisoned over planning a protest? How did we get here, says the mayor of Sydney. This is literally fascism. It literally is. And it literally is because this is a union of the government with private companies, the vaccine companies. This is pharma fascism. Maybe we should start spelling fascism with a PH. It would be appropriate. I think we live in a PHASCISM. We live in a fascist state, pharma fascism. So the hashtag Free Australia was trending because, you know, they have unauthorized protests, unauthorized free speech. We'll be getting into that later as well. So their chance of freedom and certain explicatives directed to Dan Andrews. Android is probably another Freudian slip. Dan Android, the robot, the Chinese globalist robot. Dan Android. They call him Dictator Dan, but I think maybe they should call him Dan Android because he's just a robot. We'll get into Elon Musk's silly little robot coming up. But you've got thousands of cases. Again, you know, they said not thousands, thousands of protesters. You got 825 infections. Infections. Again, if there was somebody, if there was a single person who died, can you imagine what it would be like? Do we know if these people are sick? They don't say that they're sick. They certainly didn't die because if they died, you would see the headlines screaming it all over the place. Drudge would feature it with a big red, you know, cop car light at the top of a page. Somebody died in Australia from something other than, you know, from allegedly from COVID. Under a third of the population in Australia is fully vaccinated. I think this is why this is happening. To put pressure on them. Here in America, we just take the Trump shots like a bunch of sheep. Don't care. Yeah, the left was reluctant while Trump was there. But now the Trump shots are okay because they're being passed out by Biden. Tucker Carlson called Australia a COVID dictatorship. I don't think that's a good way to describe it. COVID did not do this to us. This isn't something. We didn't lose the middle class because of COVID. We didn't lose our liberty because of COVID. We didn't lose our constitution because of COVID. We lost all those things because of public health dictators. This is a public health dictatorship. It is a medical dictatorship. Of course, you know, a year ago when I did that, got an article written about me by one of these liberal rags saying I was paranoid reactionary for calling it a medical dictatorship. That's what it is. It's not a COVID. COVID isn't doing anything. It's a pretense, but let's understand who the dictators are. This is not being dictated by a virus. There's absolutely nothing being required by a virus. No response is required to this virus. This is not a pandemic. It is political dictatorship. The premier of Australia's largest state said as the Taliban was rushing through Afghanistan, taking everything, that the current pandemic is, quote, literally a war. And quite frankly, it is. It is a war against every government is at war with its own people because they're in the process with their agenda of resetting the world. This is the big push for one world government. It is the big push for a technocratic slavery. It's always the agenda. It doesn't matter how they're pushed. This is not being done because of climate change or because of a virus. It's being done because they can. It's being done because they want to. It's being done because we let them. The authoritarian streak has seen various instances of what some people call inhumane treatment. At a time of zero active cases in Canberra, a woman was denied permission to fly to Queensland to see her dying father. A mother from across the border in New South Wales lost her baby last year after being unable to get timely treatment in Brisbane because of the time it would take to fill out the paperwork to cross the state line and enter the hospital to get emergency care. And then maybe this will wake up some people, because a lot of people care about dogs that don't care about humans. They've now got rescue dogs, you know, dogs that are waiting for a home, just shot dead by the New South Wales Council because, you know, maybe they could have COVID. Who knows? Just shoot them. And, you know, this is a telling case here, because when you go back and you look at somebody who is a serial killer, you'll typically find that in their childhood, they tortured or killed small animals. And I'm not talking about just killing animals in a humane way. I'm saying torturing them. That kind of sadistic behavior, which is what is in view here. These are people just going in and shooting dogs because maybe they've got COVID. Who knows? Maybe they could pass it on. Who knows? Let's just kill them. That tells you something about the mindset of these cops. So, and one of the hopeful signs of people pushing back, you have Australian truckers warning citizens to stock up on food because they're about to take over the country. They said they're going to take the country back, they're going to go on strike, they're going to create a blockade that will choke the supply chain. But, of course, when they tell people that, they're also warning the government, and the government has ways to commandeer food for itself. If it's like the American government, it's probably already stashed a bunch of stuff for this very purpose. They're warning Australians, however, to prepare to stock up on food and basic necessities. They say they have widespread support among truckies, also among military veterans. They recently had a snap protest in Sydney where dozens of trucks spanning miles, lined up, blowing their horns in a sign of solidarity against tyranny. Australia, meanwhile, we're being told, getting mixed messages as to whether or not Australia and New Zealand are going to pull back from this insane zero COVID mentality. I don't think, though, it's a case of bad judgment. I don't think it's a case of insanity. They're just simply using this to do whatever they wish. And if they pull back, it will be because of public pressure. The same thing that caused Boris Johnson to pull back. When you had between half a million and a million people walking the streets of London, immediately he came back and said, I've got an idea. Let's have Freedom Day. Well, we'll take all this stuff off in a couple of weeks. If you resist peacefully, they will back down. And just look at the difference between these two cities. Melbourne, where they tried to stop people from getting in, but they weren't successful. You had a big number of people where they outnumbered the cops. But when the cops outnumber you, 1,500 to 250, that's when they get violent. You've got to show up in numbers to do this. We have to act collectively for individual liberty. We can do that, and we can do it peacefully. But if we don't, they will get violent with us individually. Do you understand that? The variation on what Benjamin Franklin said. We can hang together, or we can hang separately. We can beat these people collectively just by showing up and saying we're not going to do it. We don't have to physically beat them. But if we don't beat them that way, by showing up and saying, this is done, we're not putting up with this anymore. If we don't do that, they will beat us individually. It'll be the boot stomping on your face forever, the image of George Orwell. Now, I want to show you this chart of the virus. Take a look at this. Look at all the lockdowns that they've had, and then look at how they've had a couple of peaks. Now, this does not have a peak based on any variants that are happening here. This is basically, it would be a bell-shaped curve, and the bell-shaped curve was more peaked because of, well, they've extended this thing, I should say, for a couple of different times. But if you go back and look at this, you see that they've had lockdown after lockdown after lockdown, even when they had declared the virus officially eliminated this last November. So last summer, they had, first they had a peak in the fall, in the spring, and then they had, and then it dropped down to zero. Then they had a second peak, and then it dropped down to zero. They said the virus was officially eliminated, but they continued to do lockdowns, and the lockdowns continued to multiply, as you see that. So, as I point out, you can't live with lockdowns forever, and at some point you need to make that gear change. So they're starting to talk about it, but again, you're getting mixed signals from them. The New Zealand COVID response minister conceded that zero COVID policy no longer is viable following, of course, the Delta outbreak. And again, this is pure nonsense. They didn't have a test. They're not testing people legitimately for the virus itself. They're not doing DNA testing, folks, to distinguish between the Delta variant and the Lambda variant. This is a pretext because people are, the spikes that we're getting now are based on vaccinations. I showed several months ago a French, as we were about 3 months or so into the vaccination campaigns, there was a French epidemiologist who collected information from all over the world, region by region, country by country, and it was the same everywhere. You could see that there was a rise in cases and sickness, and then two things happened. One, they would bring in ivermectin or HCQ. Typically, it was ivermectin, and you would see the cases drop to absolute zero and stay there until, like, for example, in Mongolia, they started vaccinating, and then it just went straight up. Far worse than it was originally. The Delta variant, as I think you're aware, is simply the vaccine itself making people sick. That's what she saw everywhere. It's like, look at this. There was a new disease that came out. We had ivermectin. It dropped down to zero. And everything stayed there until you started vaccinating people. And then it got really bad. It's not a Delta variant. It's not a Lambda variant. They're making this stuff up. We know that it is tied to the vaccination schedule. Finally, New Zealand, like I said, they're saying, well, we're not going to stay with this zero COVID lockdown, except that New Zealand extended the snap lockdown. So, again, you're getting mixed signals. What are we going to do with this? Well, you need to stand up and push back against this because, again, if we don't, this is coming to every single country in the world. There is some positive response coming out of Romania and Bulgaria. I'll be talking about that when we talk about the vaccines, because today it's rumored that the FDA is going to approve these Trump shots. So we'll take a look at both safety, efficacy, and some of the countries where they've said, not here, you're not going to do that. And one of those, two of those are Romania and Bulgaria. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing.
If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
There you go.
All right, good, thanks. What's for?
Is anybody still wearing a mask today?
I've got an exemption.
You've got an exemption?
Yep. This is the enforcement you guys are doing for health, supposedly. We're destroying the entire state. You guys are crazy.
So anyway, what do you want? Do you want us to go or something?
Nah, you guys can stay.
We need ID.
We've already given it to the other guy.
Sergeant, you're Sergeant.
I can give you a name.
And I already told him.
Give you a name. I'll give you my name. The acting sergeant's already got all my details just across the road.
Okay.
Hello, my name is thanks for that.
Did you guys ever think you'd be doing this in Victoria? Like enforcing tyranny. That is what you're actually doing. Unlawful directives by the government. To take away all our basic rights. We have the right to exercise our basic rights. Freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom to see you later.
Have you seen Josh Brett?
Look, there's more coppers coming.
Go! Arrest me!
Go!
Oh my God,
look at this!
Look at this!
I'm allowed to record.
These are kids passed out on the floor after being vaccinated.
How is that inappropriate?
They're blocking it off. They don't want it shown. That's the way. Decent people standing up to this. So how does it look in the U.S.? Well, seems like we've already lost our regard for the First Amendment. We have 48% of Americans want the government to restrict misinformation. And this is not the government operating through the fascist constructs that they've created with Facebook and other countries, other companies. You know, there's no difference between these companies and countries anyway. It's just pure fascism, corporate fascism. And the amazing thing about it is that it's all Democrats when you look at what is happening with it, because the Pew Research Center broke this down by political party. So they've seen, as Reason Magazine points out, the American appetite for social media censorship is apparently increasing. 48% now want the government to restrict misinformation. This is up from 39% in 2018. So they said that the number of people who wanted social media to restrict information, to restrict debate, to restrict free speech, increased over the last 3 years from 56 to 59%. Not a good trend. But the call for government action jumped by 9 points from 39% to 48%. They want the government. That means nearly half of the people want the government to violate the First Amendment. And of course, they already knew that the government was tacitly doing that with corporations anyway. They knew the government was behind all of this. 3 years ago, said the survey's authors, older Americans and those with less education were more likely than the younger, more educated adults to say that the U.S. government should take steps to restrict false information online, even if it meant limiting freedom. Now Americans across nearly all age groups are fairly evenly divided between the two views. Similar changes have occurred when it comes to Americans' educational background. The only difference that they can find, it's not age-related, it's not demographic-related, except for the political party. Big difference there. In 2018 to 2021, the number of Democrats who wanted the government to take steps to restrict false information was 40% in 2018. It's now jumped to 65%. Now, the entire country is now where the Democrats were 3 years ago. If you want to extrapolate this, is the entire country, a vast majority, going to be calling for the government to violate the First Amendment like Democrats are in 3 years? Republicans, however, have gone the other direction. As the Democrats have said, government should restrict free speech. Government should censor. We should throw the First Amendment out. That's gone from 40% of Democrats to 65% of Democrats. It has gone the other way for Republicans. It's gone from 37% to 28%. So Republicans and Democrats were pretty much even 3 years ago on the government violating the First Amendment. It was about 40%. 40%, 37% for Republicans. Now it has diverged significantly. It is 65% of Democrats, but only 28% of Republicans. And when it comes to the tech companies, it was 60% of Democrats in favor of tech companies censoring people, and 48% of Republicans 3 years ago. Now it has jumped to 76% of Democrats, and it's fallen to 37%. Percent of Republicans. So it's gone from 48 to 37 for Republicans, but it's gone from 60 to 76% for Democrats. Do you see the problem? I've said so many times that the Republicans have become what the Democrats were decades ago. And the Democrats have become full-on communists. Communist, authoritarian, totalitarians. Nothing says it more than this. I'm glad to see the Republicans are starting to go in the other direction, however. I don't know that that is going to be enough. I'm hoping that some of the people, and you see them, Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, Bill Maher, and a few others, just a few, and they are being attacked now by this angry Marxist mob that calls itself Democrats. But they've pointed out that we don't want to give up our First Amendment freedoms to the left. There are the few voices in the wilderness calling out against this. Of course, Naomi Wolf is talking about the pandemic lockdowns and free speech in general as well. So you have some people on the left who realize how dangerous this trend is and where we are headed with this. But for the most part, they're being egged on to do more. The new censors. Polls show almost half of Americans favor government censoring misinformation. This is Jonathan Turley's article about the same issue. He said, the rise of a generation of censors as young people embrace the role of government and corporate censorship. Why? It's because of the schools. And if you think this is bad, wait till you see these kids that are now being taught critical race theory and this pagan, degenerate LGBT agenda. Wait until they grow up and graduate. If you think Seattle and Portland are bad now, wait until you see the spawn of hell that is coming out of our government schools. By design, they're not failing. Figure this out, folks. Stop going to these school board meetings and lecturing these people. They don't care. They really don't care. They're going to do whatever they want, regardless of what you say, regardless of what the law says. These Marxist revolutionaries in the schools will do whatever they wish. They're true believers. This is their religion. And unlike our religion, they actually practice theirs. You know, Christians just take it, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Far be it from a Christian to offend anybody. Oh, mustn't do that. Twitter, to recruit a tattletale army to fight COVID misinformation. By the way, if you want to find me, you find me at thedavidknightshow.com. That's where you'll find out where I'm still in the cracks of the internet here and there. That's where you can find the live stream broadcasts. That's where you can find the archives of the broadcasts. That's where you can find the audio podcasts. You can find out where you can support us. And we have a gas gauge there that shows where we are. We're about a month through. It should be up at about 60% there, still at 50%. I thought that got changed last night, but maybe it didn't. Anyway, if you and how you can support us, because we're having new places added as we go along. You know, we've had in the last couple of months, we've been blocked by PayPal, by Venmo, by Spotify, but we've also added, Aftermath.fm, we've added APS Radio. We're now doing live streams on Spotify. And so, on Odyssey. Yeah, completely different. The Good Guys, Odyssey. And they just started doing live stream, and they put us in the beta test for that. So, you know, it comes and it goes. So that's why you should always go to The David Knight Show to find out where we are. I have people constantly contacting me and saying, you know, I just realized that when PayPal shut you down, that my stuff wasn't going through. And, you know, I thought I'd subscribe to you for quite a while. So we also have Subscribestar. You can see the links to that. But some people who had been sending stuff through with Venmo, they didn't realize that it was being blocked, Venmo and PayPal. That's by design by those people. I just think about that, you know, that the PayPal, founded by Peter Thiel, who's a big Trump ally, as well as Alex Karp, who's a big military-industrial complex surveillance state ally with Palantir. Just imagine that they would use their economic platform to censor free speech. But I'm sure that everybody would approve of that, don't you think? I mean, Democrats, 100% approval for that. Government shut down the First Amendment directly. Authorities are probing Murkowski's conservative challenger. This is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, a very liberal Republican, a rhino, if you believe that Republicans are conservative, then she would be a Republican in name only. She has a conservative challenger, so what they're doing is they're investigating her over a fishing license error. See, anything. This is the Sovietization of American politics. We will give you a full audit over your fishing licenses. Well, it's not a fishing license that they came after Owen Schroyer for, but they are on a fishing expedition for sure. He's been charged. Not sure exactly what's going to happen today. The case is a misdemeanor that goes back to December 2019. It was a stunt where he showed up and screamed in the Senate, in the hearings. Nadler is in the House. So because of that, they arrested him and they charged him with a misdemeanor and they gave him some conditions. And now what they're doing with the complaint that came out the end of the week, came out on Friday, FBI agent filed the complaint. The FBI agent identified himself as somebody who is a special agent in charge of domestic terrorism. This is just so over the top. It's absolutely absurd. Yeah, the stunt was ridiculous, but it's just a misdemeanor. And now what they're trying to do is magnify that, have a guy whose focus is on domestic terrorism, obviously. There isn't any, so he's out there trying to manufacture some, as the FBI typically does. And so what they said was, well, he had this misdemeanor and it was deferred prosecution, so you know, we're going to make the case that he violated the terms of that by going back on January the 6th. But we all know what this is truly about. I mean, even worse to me is Sam Montoya, who I can't find out if he is in jail still or not. He was the InfoWars cameraman who was let in and walked around. He's not doing anything. He's not harming anybody. He's doing journalism. It's exactly what I would have done if I'd been there. I would have gone in there with a camera. That's what you're supposed to do. And in a free country, that's not a problem. See, the problem isn't a journalist taking pictures of an historic event one way or the other. Whether you view that event to be good or bad, it's historic, and that's the job of journalists to do that. And Sam was not inciting people to riot. As a matter of fact, he's telling everybody, you better calm down. Even the Huffington Post journalist, Ryan Riley, as Information Liberation Chris Minahan pointed out, questioned the notion that every journalist who covered the event was somehow obligated to have a congressional press pass in order to go into their sacred building. At no point in the incident is Sam accused of attacking police or committing any acts of violence. The main evidence against him is that he allegedly made a few comments over a 44-minute video that criticized the government. Oh, well, I'm not supposed to be able to do that, right? That makes you a dissident, which makes you a enemy of the state, which makes you a domestic terrorist. Put him in jail. No due process, no speedy trial. And we'll have people who torture and beat them in the process. At the 12-minute, 55-second mark, he was making statements encouraging everyone to be orderly and civil. We don't hurt innocent people, he said. We don't tear down statues. We don't tear down statues. We take the house back. We take the people's house back. And as and this is the article going back to April, when he was arrested with a SWAT team. The overwhelming majority of the folks, said Chris Minahan at the time, who entered the Capitol, just walked right in, past the police. He said, well, we disagree with you entering the building, but we respect your right to protest. The FBI, however, does not. Our government does not respect the First Amendment. It doesn't respect informed consent. It doesn't respect the Second Amendment. It doesn't respect the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, the Eighth Amendment, the Ninth, or the Tenth. As a matter of fact, it doesn't respect the Constitution they swore to uphold. And that's why it's important to understand they have no authority, no legitimate authority. They are an occupying force at war with the American people. So you have a Georgia couple who were just swatted with 40 FBI agents, four armored vehicles. Remember when Obama was sprinkling the MRAPs all over the country? When he set up the put as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA Act, at the end of 2012, where he said, well, we'll have indefinite detention by the military without due process or anything. They laid the groundwork for all this stuff. I mean, they were even taking MRAPs and surplus military equipment that had, since World War II, been given to rural fire departments. And they were giving it to cops everywhere. And they were also telling them, you know, these things are basically, I've talked about this many times, they're basically white elephants. They said, we're not giving these to you. We're loaning them to you. And you're going to be required to do maintenance on them, which is a very expensive thing, by the way. So at the expense of the local taxpayers, these law enforcement agencies who got them would have to maintain these MRAPs. That's why some of the law enforcement agencies sent them back. They said, we don't have the budget for that. Now, previously, they had taken surplus equipment and they'd given it to rural fire departments because they don't have a lot of money, number one. Number two, they're right on the front lines of big wildfires that do happen naturally. And so to help them to fight that, they had been giving them surplus military equipment since World War II. But under Obama, they stopped that and started channeling it over to the police departments, who didn't have a legitimate use for it. And so you had a lot of these volunteer fire departments contact their senators. The senators made a lot of noise, and they reversed the policy there. But for a few months, that was their intention. Take everything, give it to the cops, store it there so that we can have it in place when we need to move against people in every town. So this guy, Donnie Hyatt, claimed federal agents raided his family's home, Oxford, Georgia, on August the 10th. He said agents, this is from the Daily Mail in the UK, he said agents seized every electronic device and had my 11-year-old daughter at gunpoint. You want to tell me that what we've just seen in Australia can't happen here in America? You want to tell me that we don't have a bunch of mindless robots wearing uniforms and body armor that won't do exactly the same stuff here? I think they'll be worse once they build up to that level. The U.S. cops are going to be worse than the Australian cops by the time they have nudged everybody into the corner. The Hyatt family is associated with 111% security force and its leader, Stockbridge resident Chris Hill. He said the raid was part of the FBI's probe into the January 6th Capitol riots. He said he and his wife attended the Stop the Steal rally, but insisted that they did not join others who stormed the Capitol that day. But again, they get 40 FBI agents, four armored vehicles. They hold an 11-year-old girl at gunpoint. Yeah, this reminds me very much of Waco, 1993. And after all that stuff happened, you had in quick succession, you had Ruby Ridge, where they spent more money surveilling that family than they had before the Grenada invasion. And that wound up executing a young boy. They executed Randy Weaver's wife, shot her at point blank. Juan Horiuchi, the FBI sniper, shot her at point blank range as she was holding a baby. It's cold-blooded murder. Nothing was ever done to him. Nothing. And then shortly after that, we had the Waco debacle. I knew this wasn't going to get any better. That's why we, my wife and I, then went to New Zealand to, we thought about moving there. But again, it seemed, when I talked to the people that live there, they were complaining about how Marxist socialist it already was. And so we wound up not going, and now you see what is happening there. It also seemed very pagan. That was another issue, the big issue there. So while the agents that just raided this Georgia family had a warrant to converge on the property, Hyatt said it was for a sealed investigation, and they wouldn't give any details to the frightened residents, reports Daily Mail. The FBI refused to comment when contacted by the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. Or as we used to call them, the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation. Feds admit video of the January the 6th riot shows officers fist-bumping rioters. Is this why they don't want to release the footage? See, if they were to put it in context, they can go through and they can selectively pull out the violence that a very, very small minority of a small minority of a small minority did. And they can use that to impugn the entire group that were there. But if they were to show all of the footage and put it in proper context, and you were to see officers who said, yeah, come on in, it's no problem, or high fives and posing for pictures, a report at Legal Insurrection blog explains the case-altering details were revealed in one of the many court cases that's now developing. We are not in a position to turn over the universe of information we possess for defendants to review, said the government. No, no, no. They have a long history in political cases. I've reported this so many times in so many cases, whether it's a Bundy Ranch or any of these other. They hide exculpatory evidence. They hide it. Evidence that would show the defendant is innocent. They hide that. They put rules around what can be talked about. For example, at the Bundy standoff, they wanted to show pictures of people who were down hiding, unarmed, hiding on the other side of the concrete barriers as the police were threatening people and pointing guns at the crowd there. And they said, no, you can't show that. You can't ask the people who were there, were you afraid of the government and its threats? They always hide exculpatory evidence in these political cases. That's why they have created these communication management units that they put Schaefer Cox in, that they've put Marty Gottesfeld in, and others. So they can't speak even after they're in prison. They've got two of them already. These are American gitmos, and they're building a third one because this is the trend for this American government. So the government says, well, we're not in a position to turn over the universe of information that we possess for the defendants to review. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's simply what they're supposed to do. And they do have a universe of evidence. Just like 9/11, where they had cameras on every square inch of the Pentagon, but no video clips to emerge to show the plane coming in, of course. And the videos from neighboring businesses and so forth are confiscated as well. You must not see what actually happened there. And they don't want you to see what actually happened on January the 6th either. Although, goes the government continues, although we are aware that we possess some information that the defendants may view as supportive of arguments that law enforcement authorized defendants, including this defendant that they're talking about, allowed them to enter restricted grounds. For example, this is the government writing this. For example, we have images of officers hugging or fist bumping rioters, posing for photos with rioters, moving bike racks so people can walk in. We are not in a position to state whether or not we've identified all such information. Though we know we've got, it's called exculpatory. They won't use that word, but. So you've got a journalist who's now suing Congress to get some of the surveillance footage. Sean Musgrave filed a lawsuit in Washington, D.C., asking a judge to recognize a, quote, common law right of access, unquote, to congressional records, which are exempt from public record laws like the FOIA requests. So the Congress, when they put the freedom of, you put in the Freedom of Information Act, and you can request information from these bureaucracies. And they will routinely refuse to comply with the law because they don't comply with anything. They don't comply with the Constitution. Why would they comply with a FOIA request? So you typically have to sue them. It takes years. Eventually, a judge, most judges will say, well, yeah, the law clearly says you got to turn over the records. So you got to turn over the records. And they did that for years with the CDC saying, you know, you're supposed to keep records. When you got this... We gave immunity to these vaccine companies. You're supposed to keep records, and we'd like to see those because you were going to keep records to make recommendations about how vaccines could be made more safe and effective. So we'd like to see those records, please. No, I'm not going to show them to you. And then after the couple of years of a court case, and it was, I think it was Del Bigtree and RFK Jr., the judge finally said, you got to turn over these records. And they said, well, we haven't gotten any because we didn't keep any records for over 30 years. Well, maybe they didn't because they don't care. Maybe they destroyed them in the meantime. But when Congress set up the FOIA request, they exempted themselves, of course. The result of FOIA inapplicability, he said, in combination with almost nothing requiring further transparency to the public from these offices, has roundly led to low transparency and high secrecy, said the complaint from citizen journalist Sean Musgrave. He said this lack of transparency has become even more apparent in the face of increased public interest in congressional security in the wake of January the 6th. He is seeking surveillance footage of the riot, records about the Capitol's security measures, arguing that increased U.S. Capitol Police transparency generally would have been helpful in preventing and or understanding January the 6th. And is likely to be important in preventing similar attacks from happening in the future. He also filed a similar lawsuit on Wednesday against the Senate Intelligence Committee and its chairman, Senator Mark Warner, seeking to make public the panel's full torture report, which has been available only in highly redacted versions since its release in 2014. This is not the torture of January the 6th prisoners. This is the torture that Gina Haspel presided over and covered up. The Gina Haspel, who was promoted by Trump to be the head of the CIA. Capitol Police investigate themselves and find themselves not guilty in the murder of Ashley Babbitt, reports Chris Minahan, Information Liberation. As expected, right? And then you have President Trump, the guy that this was all done on January the 6th for his behalf. The guy who locked us down 527 days ago. With a massively financially incentivized bribe to corrupt governors, Republicans and Democrats, to hospitals everywhere, to practice financially incentivized malpractice. So Trump had his Alabama rally on Saturday. Here's what he had to say about the virus.
The virus, you know, They say, oh, he gets wonderful marks. He doesn't get good marks. He's done a terrible job, including on vaccinations, including on everything else. And now the virus is back. The virus is back. I'm shaking hands with everybody backstage. I say, well, I don't know. Is this a good thing or bad?
Do you not believe in the efficacy and the protection of your Trump shots? QAnon? We ought to call that fraud. QAnon. He's still selling the QAnon nonsense. The stop the steal nonsense. He's still selling that stuff. I'm not going to focus on that. He immediately got into that. But let's talk about the shots. Because he had more to say about vaccines. He just could not leave the topic alone.
The China virus came, and it was a terrible period of time, but we did the greatest job. And because the base was so strong, what we did was so strong. Our country is doing well. It's going to be blown now with all the inflation and everything else that's taking place.
Oh, yeah,
we
inflation,
built such
yeah.
a strong foundation that our country is doing great, and other countries are doing horribly, horribly. Remember, they used to use anything to hit us. When we got hit, I closed it to
You'll
China,
say anything.
Closed it to Europe, anything to hit us. But they'd say, in South Korea, they're doing so well. South Korea is being decimated right now. India is doing so well. India is being decimated right now.
Actually, now this is
true.
Great
job on that. The ventilators, the equipment that we got.
Yeah, the ventilators. They kill pretty much everybody.
Everything that we did. And then we developed a vaccine, three vaccines in 3 months. In 9 months, and actually, I'll tell you, it was 3 days less, 3 days less than 9 months, and it's great. And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right.
You got a lot of people booing him there.
But I happened to take the vaccine.
Well, there you go. Trump took the Trump shot. And he's very proud of that. Got it done in 3 months. I mean, 9 months, 3 days less than 9 months, he said. You know, we're doing so great. And then the China virus came along. Well, you know, if you want to believe this line that's being sold out there by the Trump sycophants, that this was engineered, that the virus was engineered, but the lockdown wasn't, that the real bioweapon is the vaccine. You got to believe, oh, no, that's not a problem. And the lockdown's not a problem. And the money that's going to create that laid the foundation for this hyperinflation, you know, all of these things that we got from precedent, Trump setting the precedent for all these things. That's not a problem. No, it was China. China did this to us. Well, then you just admitted that they shut you down, right? He wants to admit that he was completely pwned by China, except that it's his audience that was pwned by him. Still doing it. So he tells everybody, you know, your freedom is great, but you just take the shot. It was in the cards, of course. There was no question about it. They were already talking about how they were going to mandate it, how they're going to do it through corporate coercion, through vaccine passports. That was all being war-gamed even before he gave it the green light. And then he green-lighted this for these big pharmaceutical executives. He calls them out for being greedy because they want to do a third. Are you kidding me? When you gave them the ability to sell two shots, when Trump paid more than anybody else. In Europe, they pay under $15 a shot for these Trump shots. But we agreed to pay big pharmaceutical companies nearly $20. Why are we paying 33% more than Europe? And we're paying nearly double what the developing countries are paying, if they pay anything at all. Great job of winning there, Trump. When are the people going to turn their backs and walk away from this deceiver? Just absolutely unbelievable. And then he had something to say about Fauci. Not much, but, you know, he knows that he can get an applause line from people for Fauci. Listen, though, to what he chose to criticize Fauci for.
And the mask issue is interesting because Fauci said masks are bad, and now he's a radical masker. Now he wants you to wear 15 different masks at one time. I don't know. He also told me he was a great athlete. Then I saw him throw out a pitch at the baseball. I used to be a great athlete, sir. You did? Really? Oh, that's good. Then I watched him on television. That's not an athlete. The ball almost went to first base, didn't it?
So that's it. Yeah, Fauci's problem is not that he's a medical dictator. It's not that he's a liar. It's not that he's aligned with pharmaceutical companies, that he's given them legal cover, that he has shoveled tens of billions of dollars to them to privatize profits. He has protected them from all liability going back to his very beginning of his career. It's not a problem that he was left there the entire time by that QAnon that you just saw there. No, the problem with Fauci is he can't throw a ball. Well, he has a perfect pitch when it comes to selling pharmaceutical products, and so does that traitor, Donald Trump. As one person summarized this, he said a lot of people fail to realize that he doesn't really lead these people. They lead him. He has no scruples, and he doesn't mind playing the least common denominator. They selectively ignore anything that they didn't already agree with. That was written by Ryan Hill, and I could not say it better. They selectively rule out anything that they don't agree with. And he's not above telling them anything, no matter how obviously it is a lie, no matter how his real-life events have contradicted what he's telling people. You know, take a look at his life. Look at what this guy has done. Stop listening to him. Watch him. Go back and look at what this guy has done for the last 4 years and look at the misery that has been created with this Stop the Steal thing. I mean, that was a scam from the get-go. There was absolutely no way that anything was going to be done about that except to collect money. And he and the RNC collected about $250 million. You had to give them more than $8,000 if you read the fine print. But, of course, these people don't read the fine print. They can't even see the bold-faced lies that this guy is telling them. If you read the fine print, you'd see the first $8,000 that you gave to that lying sack of excrement went to him. And he split the proceeds with the RNC. After $8,000, then he said he would spend some of that on investigating this election that he laid the foundation for. He created the lockdown mail-in election. And he pushed people in that direction by refusing to have a real convention, by refusing to have these events now. He says that the virus, just think about this. One last thing I'll tell you. Just think about this liar. He's saying that everything was really bad last year, and he locked everything down and got it better. But now it's even worse. It's even worse because Biden is in charge, right? You heard him say that. Except now, this year, he's holding events. If it's worse, and it is worse because, you know, Biden is in charge, so obviously it's worse. It's got to be worse. So if it's worse this year, why is he holding events this year when he wouldn't hold them last year? Because he wanted a lockdown election. He wanted a locked down country. It's time we escape this guy and we escape this prison that is being set up for us globally. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Let's take a quick look at Afghanistan. Last week, I pointed out that there were biometric devices that, as a matter of fact, you can see videos of them showing how they were using this going back at least 10 years. There's a detailed video that I saw going back to 2010. Those were left behind, and they're capable of getting all kinds of biometric information. I found that to be disturbing, primarily because the way that you saw the American military running Afghanistan. I mean, just stop and think about it. They guarded the poppy fields after the Taliban had reduced the supply of opioids to 10% of the world supply coming out of Afghanistan. Under our careful stewardship, we got it up into the high 90s. Over, 90 to 95%, and I think actually north of 95% of the world's opium supply. And then, just as a coincidence, I'm sure, we had big pharmaceutical companies created an opioid epidemic here in the United States. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. And so we look at that, look at the fact that under our tutelage and stewardship, not only did opioid production soar, but we also turned Afghanistan into the second worst persecutor of Christians, second only to North Korea. Of course, in Iraq, there had been for thousands of years, a Christian community that was eradicated under our stewardship in Iraq. So when you look at these biometric devices that we had, the HIIDE, it was untethered, wireless. They could measure a whole bunch of things, not just facial recognition, but they could look at your retina, they could look at your iris, they could get your fingerprints, they could collect all of this information. And a lot of it, after I had a listener send, after I reported it on Thursday, a listener sent me a letter and said, oh, by the way, they don't need to be able to access the central database. If these things were not cleared, they have thousands of people still on those things. And they were always to keep the password as well as the manual with the thing. So if they left it behind, they left full access there. And based on what we're seeing here, do you really think that the Americans, if they're going to just leave the stuff behind, do you think they went in and cleared it out? If they didn't clear it out, they're going to be able to go in and find these people because they kept very detailed information about people. And they were using this for census, and they were using it for population control. This was not just about identifying terrorists. This was population control as they defined it. And I said at the same time that we also had laptops that had disappeared. You know, it's not just the all the equipment and stuff that was left at Bagram database and just throughout the country as the Americans just picked up and ran and abandoned everything. It was weapons, it was ammunition, it was vehicles, it was helicopters, RPGs, you name it. And also included in that were laptops. Laptops. And it turns out that I've had a listener contact me about the laptops and saying it's the same thing with the laptops as it is with these hide devices. All the laptops have the same password. I even joked about that on Friday. I said, these signs that are up on the highway everywhere, you see them typically, they'll say zombies ahead or something like that because somebody goes and hacks it. They do that because it's kind of standard procedure for these departments of transportation across the country to not bother to reset the password. They came out a few years ago that the nuclear football that the presidents have, that nobody had reset that password from 00000000. The nuclear football, they don't bother to do that. So you got laptops, of course they're not going to do it. They've all got the same password. Not only do they have that, but they got written instruction manuals that must be kept with the laptops, and the password is in each of those, just like it is with the hide devices. The only safety measure they've got for the laptops is an encrypted flash drive for the boot disk. But they don't know where those things are either, so they don't know if they've got them there or not. As this person said, it's without a doubt military laptops are now sitting in Pakistan, China, Russia, Iran, possibly North Korea. This goes well beyond the information contained on the laptops, but if changes aren't made quickly to allow them to access very sensitive MILNETs, infrastructure control software, possibly finance, and dozens of other critical areas. He said they had everything on there from mess hall recipes to satellite control communiques. A wealth of information there for the Afghans to get, and if they can't get it or can't use it, they can sell it to our enemies. You know, there's a lot of talk about the abandoned helicopters. And as they pointed out, yeah, you got all these Black Hawk helicopters, but these guys can't fly the Black Hawk. Well, somebody was flying some helicopters last week, as this was all, you know, or 2 weeks ago. But whether or not they can fly them, whether or not they can maintain them, they can sell them. Probably those helicopters are not as valuable as the information on these laptops. So, and then there's one more thing. Just like the hide devices, where they can grab the information that was left behind if it wasn't cleared. On these laptops, he says it's a foregone conclusion that everybody that's been in Afghanistan, their personal information will be compromised if the encryption is broken or bypassed. He says that's the worst thing about it. He says, can you imagine service members' personnel information? Can you imagine a year from now, 5 years from now, where Ahmed and Mohammed turn up at service members' houses for an 0300 revenge meeting? See, the same thing's going to happen in Afghanistan with the people, the Afghans, who are left behind. But now with these laptops, they could get this information about American service personnel here. He said, the level of incompetence to allow this to happen surely cannot be an accident. I mean, can anyone be this incompetent? And he said, for the irony of the week, I have to be careful what I say because it's classified. However, the incompetence that allowed all this to occur will go on to the next project with immunity. There'll be no punishment for them. If you talk about it in too much detail, oh, well, yeah, we'll get it. But we all know they've left behind Black Hawk helicopters, the hide equipment, the laptops, you name it. Billions of dollars in U.S. weaponry. But the information is the thing that is key. It's quite another question whether they're actually operating such sophisticated advanced military hardware. And again, they don't need to. They'll be able to, you know, that information is probably not as worth as much to them as it is to our enemies. And they can sell that. They can sell that more easily than they can sell the helicopters. One day after Biden lied to Americans and said there was no indication that Americans have been able to get into Kabul, haven't been able to get in Kabul to the airport, just 12 hours later, on Saturday, the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, or as Zero Hedge points out, what's left of it, which is now officially located at the airport, having handed over the actual embassy building to the militant Sunnis without taking their equipment, advised Americans in Afghanistan to avoid traveling to Kabul airport, adding that authorities will contact all registered U.S. citizens with further instructions as the situation updates. Because of potential security threats, they say, the embassy posted on Saturday morning, because of potential security threats outside the gates of the Kabul airport, we are advising U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to the airport, to avoid airport gates at this time, unless you receive individual instructions from a U.S. government representative to do so. They're full of Kabul, aren't they? Chaos was not the responsibility of the Taliban, an official of the group told Reuters. The Taliban says the West could have had a better plan to evacuate. They could have had a plan. A plan would have been a better plan. Yeah, you could have had a better plan. Any plan would have been better than no plan. Realizing that everyone knew that Biden had just lied, only an hour later after a scrambling Department of Defense acknowledged being aware of reports that Taliban terrorists had been beating Americans in Afghanistan. Now, Biden said, yeah, just go to the airport. Not a problem. Anybody can get there. They're working with us. Yeah. Afghan Americans on Thursday said that Taliban fighters are now attempting to take their U.S. passports, identification orders, in an attempt to stop them from leaving the country. Quote, I got to the gates and was about to show my passport, said one Afghan American. But the Taliban got it, and he said, you're not allowed to go through, and he wouldn't give it back. I was lucky. A U.S. Marine was right there and forced him to give it back. But some have not been so lucky, hamstringing their chances to make it home ahead of the Taliban's official assuming of the throne. And U.S. and British forces have a very different idea of how they should treat their citizens. And it's created conflict between the two of them. Reports have surfaced that British and American forces are unhappy with each other at Kabul airport, as UK military commanders are overseeing rescue missions into the city itself, while U.S. commanders are sitting tight, leaving Americans to fend for themselves. This is coming from the Russell Review. It says, serious friction between U.S. and U.K. military commanders at the airport. American forces refused to leave the airport due to a deal with the Taliban, while British paratroopers are still running constant patrols into the city to collect people from safe houses. We won't do that for our people. But the British are doing it. So British forces, they said, are rescuing British, Irish, and Afghan nationals due for evacuation. Taliban are aware of the patrols and are taking no action so far. But of course, according to our LGBT pentagram officials, we have to abide by our agreement with the Taliban. We can't help anybody. U.S. command is unhappy with the Brits. They said it puts their deal at risk. A British paratrooper commander and an American 82nd Airborne commander had a screaming match. The Brits are reportedly very unhappy at how Afghans are being treated by American forces. U.S. rank-and-file soldiers are infuriated with their command. They're extremely frustrated that they can't join the British paratroopers or use the small army of contractors assembled at the airport to go on rescue missions. British Home Secretary Priti Patel. That's the way I had this extra S there. It's actually Priti Patel. But I think Priti Patel would be more effective. Has only authorized up to 5,000 Afghan refugees, but UK troops on the ground have orders to, quote, ignore those numbers. Get as many people out as possible. The British military is ignoring these pastel LGBT virtue signaling bureaucrats, and they're just trying to help people. But on the American side, that's the way it's rolling, just the opposite way. They've been told by diplomats that the Home Office can sort out the paperwork later. As a matter of fact, our Secretary of Defense, Austin, was questioned about this on Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
We're going to try our very best to get everybody, every American citizen who wants to get out, out. And we continue to look at different ways to
always with you, what cannot be done. Do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah. We're going to try. We're going to do our best. We're going to really try. We're going to try hard. Well, they're not trying hard. As a matter of fact, British troops, some of them, have been tasked with watching the Americans because they think the Americans might cut and run as they have at Bagram Air Force Base without notifying their allies. You know, they did that without notifying the Afghans or the British at Bagram Air Force Base. They're worried that they're going to bug out of Kabul without notifying anybody, and if they do, they could be overwhelmed. So, like, keep an eye on the Americans. They may just run away. That's what it's come to. Yeah, we're going to try our very best. Try our very best, says Lloyd Austin. But he won't commit to evacuating every American ally from Afghanistan. Again, last week, as I pointed out, we're going to get everybody out, but we don't even know how many we've gotten out so far. And we don't know where they are. And they don't have any way to communicate with us. And they don't have any way to get to the airport. And we don't, But we'll try, he says on Sunday. He added the Taliban, quote, has been allowing people to pass safely through. That's a lie. If you have an American passport, if you have the right credentials. And then he was challenged by Martha Raddatz, They said, well, not in all cases. And he goes, well, yeah, certainly, not in all cases, yeah, yeah. Defense contractors, meanwhile, in the States, I've read you statements, some of them going public with it, saying, look, these are people that I know. I did several tours in Afghanistan. These people are being betrayed. I'm still in contact with them. So, to keep, you know, we've got a problem here, right? We could go get those people. We could go get the Americans. But instead, what the Pentagram has decided they will do is just to tell these defense contractors to shut up. Just shut up. Don't talk about that. We're not going to go rescue them. Just shut up. They were told not to personally assist friends and former colleagues that are stuck in Afghanistan, writes the Daily Caller. The Defense Contract Management Agency. See, if you want to get more money, you do what they tell you to do, right?
Show me the money!
That's right. Show me the money. And so, you know, here's your chance to sell out your friends for 30 pieces of silver because you want to get that next defense contract. DCMA, if any Afghanistan national contacts a DCMA employee for assistance with asylum, the employee should in no way suggest or represent that the individual or DCMA is in a position to help. The employee should only inform the Afghanistan national that the State Department is the appropriate organization to contact. Don't call me. Call the useless American embassy. The email comes as veterans are scrambling online to help Afghans flee the Taliban. The official process for Afghan allies is proving difficult to navigate, with several indicators showing these channels are sorely lacking in expediency and competence. This is... putting it mildly, isn't it? I mean, this is DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, level of incompetence. Look at that picture there. I showed you pictures last week of people holding their babies up. Please just take my baby. And there's a U.S. Marine leaning over the concertina wire in the concrete wall to take a baby that somebody is handing over. Yeah, the Marines would do it if they could, but it's a failure of leadership. It's corrupt leadership. So now they've decided, after this has gone on for a couple of weeks, they've got an idea. They're going to use civilian airplanes for the third time in history to aid in evacuation. And I immediately thought, as I imagine you did, of Dunkirk. Except that this is what it looks like this time. Dumbkirk. D-U-M-B. Dumbkirk. That's what this truly is. This is just the third time in history that the civilian reserve air fleet has been activated. In total, they've contacted six commercial airlines: American Airlines, Atlas Air, Delta Airlines, Omni Air, Hawaiian Airlines, and United Airlines to help get people out of Afghanistan. 18 aircraft will be used for the onward movement of passengers from temporary safe havens and interim staging bases. It's the first ever activation of CRAF occurred between August 1990 to May 1991 to help operations Desert Shield and Storm. It was used again February 2002 to June of 2003 for Operation Iraqi Freedom, according to the Pentagon. I don't know what they call this. Is this Operation Runaway? Bug Out? Bagram Bug Out? I don't know what operation this is. I think that the operation is not successful, but the patient is certainly dying. The Biden administration has charged $2,000. There were reports of this. They denied it. The reports continue to persist and add up, charging $2,000 for stranded U.S. citizens to flee Afghanistan. The charges actually came from Politico. Politico said, even though U.S. officials tell NATSEC Daily, that's National Security Daily, and others that evacuation flights from Kabul will be free, people trying to catch a plane in the Afghan capital say differently. One person said the State Department staff were seeking large payments, up to $2,000 from American passengers, even more from non-U.S. citizens. Are they keeping this money? Do you have to bribe the State Department officials, or is this U.S. policy? When we relayed what this person told us to the State Department, said Politico, a spokesperson didn't deny that this is happening, but noted, quote, U.S. law requires that evacuation assistance to private U.S. citizens or third country nationals be provided, quote, on a reimbursable basis to the maximum extent practicable. In other words, said Politico, the Biden administration may request payments for evacuation flights. And then we had Donald Trump again on Saturday, as he's talking about how this would all be different if he had ever been president. Oh, wait, he was for 4 years. As we see the civilian aircraft being brought in this Dunkirk, listen to what Trump said about how he got some advice from a five-year-old who knew better how to do this than Austin and Biden.
But I asked the child, so what would you do after describing? Would you leave the military until everything's out, including the civilians and all of that incredible military equipment? Or would you have the military go out first? Sir, I'd leave the military in. He was five. He said, I'd leave the military in. Get everything out first. I said, thank you very much. But they didn't want me to tell that story. They thought it was not an appropriate story, but it's true. This is a five-year-old kid, 5 or 6-year-old kid. And this is what we're stuck with.
Yeah, it's a shame that Trump didn't have anybody with the mentality of a five-year-old kid advising him during his 4 years in the White House, did he? I mean, it was, he was stalling for time. That's why they met with the Taliban. That's why they pushed it off into May with their lockdown mail-in election and so forth. He was stalling for time. He didn't want that to happen on his watch. He had the capability to do it anytime that he wanted to because he was commander-in-chief, except as we've all seen, the people who are running the Trump administration were Goldman Sachs bankers and Pentagram generals. And he did exactly as he was told. But now he knows better. So if you give him another chance, he'll do it right this next time. Just trust him. Trust him. This next time, instead of having the current advisors, he'll get in maybe somebody who has got a little bit more integrity and intelligence, a five-year-old. And I tell you, a five-year-old could have done a much better job than the Trump or Biden administration have done. I would vote for a five-year-old before I'd vote for either of those guys. And it doesn't have anything to do with their age either. Somebody was saying something like, well, you know, all these people in Washington, now they're in their 70s, 80s. And it's like, the big problem is not their intelligence, quite frankly. The big problem is their character. When you have people of no character, you know, one of the things is that your mind doesn't operate as quickly as you get older. But perhaps you've learned a few things from experience. Perhaps you've learned wisdom about human nature, about some other things. But you have to have character. That's why we always used to think that character was important. Now we think we need to have somebody who's young, energetic, photogenic, and that's who we want for a leader. We don't care about character anymore. That's how we wound up with people like Trump and Biden. We don't care about character. People in the past in America had known what we know about Trump and Biden, they would have never been elected president. Never. Never would have even been put up for president. But now we don't care about character. We don't care about corruption. Let me tell you, if you get somebody who's young and pretty and they have no character, if they're intelligent, it only makes them more dangerous. All those things, intelligence and attractiveness, it just makes these people more dangerous if they don't have character, if they don't have integrity. Integrity means that you do what you said you were going to do as a candidate. It doesn't mean that you become somebody completely different and unrecognizable for the 4 years that you're in office, QAnon. And then you come back out and you start reinventing yourself now as candidate Trump. Or maybe you should just call him Grump. That's what he's become, Grump. I am Grump. Bill Maher, talking about Afghanistan, said this wouldn't be any different if it was Trump. He's absolutely right. You know, just interchangeable puppets that we have there on the stage. I can't think of how it could have been any different if it was Trump. He said, what do you do when a guy like, I don't know, Donald Trump gets elected president somehow, and you've got this ridiculous clown in office, this buffoon, he's stupid, he's crazy, and then we elect, we get him out of office, and the adults are back in charge, the Democrats, said Bill Maher. He calls the Democrats adults. No, they're not adults, they're adulterers, just like Trump. Anyway, that's about as adult as they get. Says, I can't think of how it could have been any different if it was Trump. Honestly, I mean, how could it be more effed up? How could it be more incompetent? How could it be more Trumpian? So what do I say to myself to get asleep at night when the adults are in charge, right? And they screw up as badly as Trump would. Well, you might get out of your partisan bubble. That's the thing that's blinded everybody. This two-party system has destroyed this country. It's destroyed our ability to think critically. It's just two different teams. Which team are you on? Mindlessly cheer them on no matter what. So as Glenn Greenwald accurately points out, you notice what's happening here. You've got the mainstream media turning on Biden. They're very unhappy with Biden. I think Glenn Greenwald got it right. This is about supporting the U.S. war machine. It's about keeping the U.S. war machine going. This is why the left-wing establishment press is criticizing him. Why? Because they are the handmaids of the military-industrial complex, the surveillance state, the police state, the whole rest of it. When you look at what they're doing with the vaccines and the lockdowns, how they constantly cheer war, that's the consistency. And it doesn't matter who you are, as he points out. Glenn Greenwald said, it's genuinely revealing that the only thing that could make the corporate media turn on Biden was his decision in an agreement with Trump to end a preposterously long and worthless war. Now, I would just disagree with him and say it wasn't their decision. What Trump was doing with Pompeo was he was trying to buy time in a situation where they knew they had already lost. They didn't pull out. They were thrown out. The Pentagram lost this war. They lost this war. It was unwinnable over a year and a half ago. You had Rand Paul and many others saying, you know, I'm told these people don't want to go on record because it's a big bureaucracy. It's going to end their career. But they've told me privately on record, there is no military solution. I reported it at the time. I said, look at the map. They only control a few cities. The rest of the country is already under Taliban control a year ago. And then when they started to just run away, then it collapsed very, very quickly. But it was already an untenable position. And that's why Trump and Pompeo did what they did. They were just stalling for time, hoping that this hot potato would land in Biden's lap instead of theirs. But again, when Glenn Greenwald is talking about this. He says this is the same dynamic that explains how the only time they praised Trump was when he bombed Syria. One of the few times they got enraged with Obama was when he refused to overthrow Assad. Nobody loves war and imperialism more than the employees of big media. Operation Mockingbird. They were always a part of that. The corporate media is nothing other than a psyop. It's a CIA, Pentagon psyop. That's what it is. And it's spread now to alternative media as well. CNN is giving platforms to well-known war hawks now, like John Bolton. Can you imagine CNN putting John Bolton on? Well, they're doing it now. He not only argued that the evacuations are a failure, but he also argued that we shouldn't be leaving at all and we should be continuing in this two-decade-old war that's already cost thousands of lives. And then you have a CNN journalist, writes RT, who took a more casual approach to war hawking and whined about the fact that there could be $1 trillion worth of valuable minerals such as lithium in Afghanistan. These resources are ones that, quote, the world desperately needs, unquote. And so if we're going to move on with these environmentally friendly options, such as electric cars, and that's another thing I've talked about for the longest time. I said one of the reasons that we're there, that we continued to stay there, and that we would have stayed there if we'd been able to stay there, was for the lithium, it was for the opium, it was for the rare earth minerals. That's why we were there for such a long time. And so it was not Trump's choice, it was not Biden's choice, it was forced upon them. They were simply stalling for time. But as Glenn Greenwald points out, Bolton is making his way through the liberal cable news publications. You got war hawks like Condoleezza Rice using left-wing papers like the Washington Post to argue against leaving Afghanistan entirely. No, we need to be there. We need to go back. Will the Taliban ban heroin? They can't survive without it, writes AFP. Well, again, we guarded the poppy fields for them. I guess the question is, can we survive in America without Big Pharma? I mean, I think that it's not a coincidence that the rapid increase of opioids coming out of Afghanistan under our protection and stewardship coincided with an opioid epidemic here in the U.S. The military-industrial complex and the CIA used crack cocaine to fund their secret war. They couldn't get enough money from their Iran-Contra crap, so they funded their secret wars with crack cocaine, releasing an epidemic of that. Do you think that they're above doing that with opioids, working in partnership with big pharmaceutical companies that are part, they're the core of putting the entire world into slavery? Finally, the Babylon Bee says that they have an exclusive. They've now obtained a copy of the Taliban's first draft of their new women's bill of rights. You have the right to remain silent, women, and says the Taliban. You have the right to equal employment inside the home with other wives. You have the right of freedom of movement, again, just inside the home. You have the right to be married to whichever brave Taliban fighter chooses you. You have the right to be married at any age. You have the right to choose the color of your burqa, to which I would add, just as long as the burqa is black. And you have the right to be seen in public as long as they are fully covered in the presence of their husband. And finally, they have a right to trial by their husband. Well, at least they get a right to trial by their husband. We don't even get that in America anymore. We'll be right back.
Common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
I have a listener who contacted me from Bulgaria. I'm constantly amazed at how many listeners I have scattered in every nook and cranny of the globe. But this is a global takedown. And although we are primarily focused on what's happening in America, certainly we can see what is going to be coming to America by looking at other countries, as we've looked at Australia. The good news, the best news we've got today, actually, is coming out of Bulgaria. And it's not, I didn't find this, it just happened to happen. I didn't look this up because he contacted me. But he says, thank you for the great work. I'm a regular listener. Let me just say you've got a lot of listeners here in Bulgaria, and I'm sure a lot from Eastern Europe as well. So about the COVID situation here, he says, same stuff related to COVID they try to implement here. Masks, social distancing, testing, all of it. So it's a global agenda. And again, it doesn't matter which country, it doesn't matter which political party, which political leader, they're doing the same thing worldwide. And we now know that there is no pandemic. It is a political operation. He says, but hey, he said, people here have lived under communism for 50 years. So they are, to say the least, skeptical of this whole COVID scam. Because if you've lived under, this is communism. And if you've lived under it, you can smell it a mile away. And so things are not working out too good for this agenda in Romania and in Bulgaria. But no one cares about the masks or anything. People live their lives without any concerns. And most of them don't watch television. That's the key thing. I wanted to ask you if you can cover a bit more of Europe and Eastern Europe, as I see you mostly concentrating on America. I'd be grateful if you do. So, yeah, let's talk about this and what is happening in Romania and Bulgaria. Actually, this is the EU Observer reporting on this, as well as Chris Minahan and InformationLiberation.com. The Bulgarians are not taking the vaccines. And so the Bulgarian government and the Romanian governments are selling off their supplies to the suckers in Europe like Ireland. Europe's least vaccinated countries are in no short supply of the COVID-19 jabs. And again, I think I agree with the listener. They're the least vaccinated because they can smell what this whole thing is. It's just a communist authoritarian takeover. They're not buying it, and they're not taking the jabs. Romania and Bulgaria are both looking for opportunities to sell their excess vaccines, which they're not able to administer to their own population. This is happening at a time when the rest of Europe fears both higher vaccine prices and the surge of the Delta. The surge is coming here. Yeah, sure. No. You're going to have higher vaccine profits is what's coming. That's what's coming. To avoid unused stocks of vaccines from hitting their expiration date, Romania recently secured a deal with Ireland. The Irish Prime Minister posted on Twitter, said they'd made a deal with Romania for the purchase of 700,000 additional doses of COVID-19 vaccines. They'll be provided directly from Pfizer in the form of redistribution of doses originally ordered by Romania. You see, once you sign on, and we've talked about this, Pfizer has gone to country after country, and we've seen some of these NDAs hacked, some of them released by companies like Argentina and Brazil that did not go with the threats and the blackmail and the demands of Pfizer, demanding that they be held harmless, even if not just for the experimental vaccine itself, but if they had manufactured it in a way that was negligent that caused harm, or if they didn't ship it properly, or on and on and on. They not only demanded of these Central America, South American, Latin American nations, they not only demanded that they be held harmless, they also demanded that they have foreign bank accounts. Because I honestly think these people believe that they know that there is at least a chance that if we can wake the population up, they will become hunted war criminals like Joseph Mengele and other Nazis. They should be hunted down like them if there's any justice in this life. They would be. So they're asking for sovereign assets. They want title to embassies abroad, but they want bank accounts in other countries, foreign countries, that they can escape to. And part of these deals are that you hold them harmless if they deliver it late. But no matter what, I mean, even if the population catches on and this whole pandemic stops, once you have signed on to buy this stuff from Pfizer, you got to buy it. They said if it ends, or if there's something that cures it, you know, like something that's cheap, safe, and effective, like, I don't know, ivermectin or something, you would still be on the hook to buy this stuff. And again, I'll just point out to everybody that Trump paid more. We paid for the development of most of these Trump shots with Operation Warp Speed, delivered it with the military, held them harmless, and we agreed to pay more even than Europe. 30% more, nearly double what the rest of the world pays. We pay these pharmaceutical companies. If you don't realize what a pharmaceutical whore Donald Trump is, I don't know what else to tell you to wake you up. He's been bought and sold by these people, and so have the people who cheerlead for him. The vaccines will be delivered in Ireland over the course of August, will be provided directly from Pfizer as part of the redistribution. So Romania is on the hook, and they're going to have to buy these from Pfizer unless they can find Ireland to buy them for them. To which I say, why don't you just tell Pfizer to take a hike? Do you understand that even these countries like Romania and Bulgaria, where the citizens are not taking it, and they realize that these citizens who've lived under communism, if they were to try to do the kind of stuff to them that they do to people in Australia who just think, well, we could never have a government that would do horrible authoritarian, totalitarian things to us like happened in Romania and Bulgaria under the communists. So it happens to the people in Australia, and it happens to the people in Canada, and it happens to the people in the UK and the US and New Zealand. But in Bulgaria and Romania, if you start doing that kind of stuff, people say, well, I know where this is headed, and they're going to put up with it. So they're afraid of their people, but they're equally afraid of Pfizer. How does a foreign corporation like that have so much control over Romania and Bulgaria? I mean, you could just say, here's your contract and just rip it up right there in front of them, right? That's what they ought to do. But instead, they try to find somebody else to take this burden off of them because they have signed up to buy this stuff from Pfizer. And you know, the corporations now, we have global governance by corporations. That's how the global government is going to roll out. Just like the vaccine mandates are going to roll out by corporate coercion, the global governance is going to come by corporate coercion as well. Look at Revelation. It says, the great men. So it doesn't say necessarily mean that they're government officials. And these are the wealthiest men that the world has ever seen, in charge of these Silicon Valley companies, in charge of these pharmaceutical companies. Ireland currently has one of the highest vaccination rates in Europe at 73.8% of its adult population of 3.8 million people. And they're scared to death because they may have caught on to the fact that the vaccinations actually mess up your immune system and make you more vulnerable to many other things, and the fact that they are a toxin, a bioweapon to start with. So prior to the deal with Ireland, the South European nation, Romania, sold another 1.1 million doses of Pfizer to Denmark as well. As vaccination numbers drop, says the EU Observer, Romanian authorities have donated nearly a 500,000 vaccines to neighboring Moldova, as well as to Serbia and Ukraine. Bulgaria is also donating its unused vaccines, mainly to neighboring Western Balkan countries. And Romanians are celebrating the news on social media. Here's one of them saying, how do you explain this situation in Romania? We've got 25% of the population vaccinated, only 25% vaccinated. Yet, cases and deaths are plummeting. The government is closing down vaccinating centers and selling vaccines to the West. The same is happening in most Eastern European countries. So how is that possible? It's exactly the opposite of what that lying SOB Trump told everybody. No. The people who are not seeing the resurgence are the people who didn't take the vaccines. The people that are not getting sick are the ones who didn't take the vaccines. It's the vaccines, it's his Trump shots that are making people sick. Meanwhile, the FDA is expected today to approve, full approval. As a matter of fact, it has now done so. The FDA, it was expected this morning. I just got this notice from Karen that they have now granted full approval to Pfizer, clearing the path to more vaccine mandates. You see, it was always just a formality. The question was, would they just completely ignore it? By doing an emergency use authorization under severe pressure from Trump, you do that today or you're fired. By doing an emergency use authorization, they could say, well, this is an emergency, so we're going to approve it. We know that it doesn't meet our regulations, but you know, we're still going to wait until we approve it. We're still going to follow our regulations. But now they have just turned their back on any of this. They have a procedure where for phase three, they run it for 2 years. Why do they do that for vaccines? Well, first of all, you want to see what has happened with the people who've taken it for safety. They would run it for 2 years, and 2 to 3 years. And before all this stuff happened, you had a meeting of the World Health Organization. We had a lot of medical professionals at that meeting saying, we're not running the tests long enough to see the side effects because a lot of them don't manifest immediately. Typically, they don't. Prior to this, the best documented vaccine adverse case scenario was the one with Pandemrix that was done with the 2008-2009 swine flu. That was a vaccine that was rushed to market by none other than Fauci and Moncef Slaoui, who was head of the company there that created that vaccine at the time. That is the best documented case, and that caused problems in children within a year. Narcolepsy, catalepsy, other things like that. And so you usually don't have it happen that quickly so that it's hard for people to make the correlation when it takes several years for this to roll out. But doctors already knew that was happening, and so they were saying to the World Health Organization, we need to run these tests longer. And so instead, they've now cut this down to less than a year to grant full approval to Pfizer. So it'll encourage the corporations to get even more horsey with people. And, of course, the Biden administration knew this was coming. Again, this is just bureaucratic red tape. They can be pressured to do this, as Fauci said. They just got to dot the I's and cross the T's here because we can do this. That's all it is. So now that they have blessed this formally, what are the implications for this? Well, first of all, for the military, they said you're going to have to get the vaccine September 15th or sooner if it's approved by the FDA. And so this is going to put a lot of pressure on people in the military immediately now. It's also going to put a lot more pressure on people for jobs. But I said when they said or sooner that it was likely that this is going to happen before September the 15th. It happened 3 weeks earlier. Up until now, the mRNA vaccine, of course, is on an emergency basis, but they have now swept that aside. And it was also predictable that this was going to happen this week because of the massive PR campaign we've seen, the lies and the propaganda we've seen from the FDA over the weekend. You've got one publication after the other, Rolling Stone and others, and they're picked up by the Drudge Report. And the consistent headline is for them to continue to call ivermectin a horse dewormer. And so the FDA went on a propaganda offensive over the weekend against ivermectin over the weekend before they gave full approval to this thing. You see how this all works out? We know exactly what's going on. You're not a horse, says the FDA. No, no, no. Wow, you're sheep, you're cattle, you're not a horse. Why should you use ivermectin to treat or to prevent COVID-19? Well, that'd be real simple. It's safe. It's effective. And, oh, by the way, it's cheap, which is why you don't want us to use it, right? For all those reasons. You don't want this to end. You don't care whether it's safe or not. And you want all the money that you can get out of this. This whole pandemic of political tyranny is financially incentivized medical malpractice. So you've got the Rolling Stone magazine and many other publications are carrying their water for them. Based on the tweet from the FDA, you're not a horse, so don't take ivermectin. And so they're dutifully writing all of their articles in the same way that all the mainstream media is now saying and even pulling in these people like Condoleezza Rice and John Bolton that they hate so much, pulling them in to tell us we shouldn't have left Afghanistan and we need to go back to Afghanistan. And maybe we need to go back and grab the minerals and things like that. So they keep saying ivermectin is reserved for deworming livestock. And that is just absolutely a lie. This has been approved for human use for over 65 years. The reason people are having to get it at veterinary supplies are because of political reasons, because the FDA has just as absurdly gone in the other direction, just like they've approved now this drug. They've now gone in the other direction to disapprove any competition. This is the way these corporations operate. If you look at what Bill Gates is doing, for example, right? He's going out there and buying Impossible Meat and Beyond Meat or whatever the companies are that he buys. And at the same time, he's creating a narrative to get the government to ban the real meat so that everybody will be buying their meat from him. You get the governments to ban your competition. And then if you're really good, you get them, you force the people to buy your product. You know, like Chobani yogurt. They didn't force people, but they had, after they set this guy up in business, gave him a big, this guy from, let's see, where was he from? It wasn't Iraq, it was one of the Medes. He was from the Kobani area. And so they bring this guy in, and they set him up in New York with a big yogurt company, and then you have more, that's Schumer and Gillibrand, and then you have Hillary Clinton and these other people give them a contract to, and Michelle Obama, to give them a contract to sell their Greek yogurt in all the school lunchrooms. This is the way these people operate. You get crony contracts, but if you're really good, you get the competition banned, and then you actually can, now with the pharmaceutical companies, you can hold a gun to people's heads and force them to take your product. And that's what this approval is about. So at the same time they're doing that, they just keep repeating that this is just horse medicine. It's just horse medicine. And let me tell you, this is horse excrement that is coming out of Rolling Stone magazine. It's just shameful lies from these people. Usually reserved for deworming livestock, is responsible for a spike in poison control calls in Mississippi. We got a spike in poison. Well, actually, we have a poison spike that people are being injected with. Those coronavirus spikes that your body is manufacturing, and how do you stop your body from manufacturing that stuff? Well, I don't know. Let's take another shot, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. Let's not stop your body from manufacturing those toxic spikes. And so they want to pretend that these injections are not toxic spikes, but they say there's a spike in poison control. It's, what it is, it's an overdose, if anything. And I don't know that it's a spike. You can't trust anything the mainstream media tells you anymore. If it is a spike, then it's because people are not taking it in the proper dosage. Why? Because they have prohibited medical professionals from helping people. And so they're self-medicating with this stuff. And if there is a spike in this, the people that you should blame are the FDA. So they say, yeah, it's nothing but veterinary sources. So, you know, you shouldn't take this. I think some people are trying to use it as a preventative, which is really kind of crazy, said Dr. Thomas Dobbs, Mississippi's state health officer. It always goes back to these public health officers. They are the Goebbels of this whole takedown. They are the propagandists of this. It is a preventative. It is a preventative as well as a therapeutic. And we have plenty of evidence to show that. I've gone over that over and over again, and I'll go over a little bit more of it right now. In India and elsewhere, we've seen that. But this public health official from Mississippi is saying, please don't take it. Take my poison spike instead. Rachel Maddow pointed out on her Friday night show, she said, here's Fox personalities pushing this consistently over the last 6 months. Well, not consistently enough, because they are funded by big pharmaceutical companies. She said, Fox News is busy saying, don't take the vaccine, but do take this horse deworming medication. Trust us, it's proven. Let me tell you something. If you're watching Rachel Maddow and mainstream media, what you need is you seriously need to deworm yourself. These people are parasites, and they're feeding off of you, feeding off of your fear. Here's the reality. This is the lawsuit that I reported back in May. The Indian Bar Association. You want to talk about what's going on in India? Trump lied to you. Trump is on the same side as Rachel Maddow on this. Do you find that amusing? Do you find that enlightening? That they're on the same side pushing this stuff? The Indian Bar Association has sued, and this goes back to May 25th. I reported this when it happened. They've sued a World Health Organization chief scientist, accusing her in a 71-point brief of causing the deaths of Indian citizens by misleading them about ivermectin, because they have the data. And I've shown you the data, and it's not just India. It's country after country throughout Asia, throughout Europe, throughout North and South America. You can see places where people have taken ivermectin. There are several dozen studies. I didn't even have time when I read them to give you the full gist of all the ivermectin studies. And its safety is far better documented over the last 65 years. It's been used for humans. It's had veterinary uses as well. But again, now you just can get it at veterinary sources. But it's very well documented, unlike these toxic protein spike genetic code injections that they're giving people. And so they said point 56 of this lawsuit is your misleading tweet on May the 10th, 2021, against the use of ivermectin had the effect of the state of Tamil Nadu withdrawing ivermectin from protocol the next day and indicated the same change in treatment for COVID patients. And they said, what happened was we had a tremendous spike in deaths because they stopped using ivermectin. Show it over and over again. You use ivermectin, it drops down to zero. And then what they did here was they withdrew it, they started vaccinating people, and it shot sky high. Specific charges include the running of a disinformation campaign against ivermectin, issuing statements in social and mainstream media to wrongfully influence the public against the use of ivermectin. I mean, when you look at this childish propaganda that's being pushed out by Rolling Stone. They say animal drugs are highly concentrated for large animals and can be highly toxic in humans. That's why we ought to be able to take whatever we desire, and doctors ought to be able to prescribe this stuff for us. But because you have intimidated doctors and threatened them with losing their licenses, threatened pharmacists with losing their licenses, that's why people are getting the wrong dose. What is the difference between medicine and a poison? It's the dose. And it's because of the FDA that people are getting the wrong dose of ivermectin. It's your policies that are killing people, just like they did in India. The brief cited U.S. Attorney Ralph Lorigo's hospital case in New York. I've talked about this as well. Listen to this case. Court orders were required for dying COVID patients to receive ivermectin. In multiple instances of such comatose patients, following the court-ordered ivermectin, the patients recovered. More specifically, they don't go into detail with it, with this particular case, this particular article. But one of the cases was a woman who was in her 80s, and she was already on a ventilator, and she was about to die. And so they said, can we give her ivermectin? And the nurse, which was on duty, naively said yes, because she didn't realize how much the hospital profit system and the big pharmaceutical profit system and the insurance company profit system wanted to shut that down. So she said yes. With a single dose, she was off of the ventilator in a day and setting up. And they said, well, we want to get her some more. At that point, the hospital paid attention. Wait a minute, we had somebody come off. Usually people get on the ventilator, they die, right? These wonderful ventilators that Trump put out everywhere, they kill people, just like his spike protein injection. He kills people, just like he's killing this country. So they said, Oh, wait a minute. That got the attention of the hospital people because it was unusual. Somebody recovered from a ventilator. So they paid attention. They said, no, you can't have ivermectin. So they took it to court. The relatives took it to court. This is this attorney, Ralph Lorigo, in New York. They took him to court, took the hospital to court, said, you got to give this to her. They said, well, we won't prevent it, but we won't administer it. You can't force us. Yeah, you can force people in New York, I guess, to do an abortion against their will, but you can't force them to give a cheap, safe, and effective medication to somebody to save their life. But you can kill somebody, you know, and you can force doctors to kill a baby, and you can force doctors to do sex change operations. But in Democrat land, you can't force them to give somebody safe, effective, and affordable medication. So, but they did, because the court ordered, they did allow, and they had to do this, the family had to get another physician to actually go into the hospital and hand her the medication. And then a couple of days, she was out. So now you got the Rolling Stones, all these people writing articles in the lead up to the FDA approving these Trump shots, calling it horse medication. Just unbelievable. The world is gradually waking up to your absurd, arbitrary, fallacious approach and presenting concocted facts as, quote, scientific. While the WHO flaunts itself as a know-it-all is akin to the vain emperor in new clothes, while the entire world has realized by now that the emperor has no clothes at all, said one of the lawyers in this Indian case. I had an update, and I had an update to this. This is a listener, Noel. How I Got Ivermectin, a step-by-step guide for you and your audience. I'm covering this tomorrow because he had an update to this that simplified it, and I can't find the update. So I'm going to tell you how to get it tomorrow. But, of course, the FDA now has approved the Pfizer vaccine, and big pharmaceutical companies are eyeing the next cash cow, an mRNA vaccine for RSV. RSV, of course, is respiratory syncytial virus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But RSV is something that's been around. They tried to vaccinate kids for it before. It had severe side effects for the time. We used to pay attention when people died or got sick with a vaccine. We don't care anymore, obviously, right? But when they did this, as ChildrensHealthDefense.org points out, 65 years ago, families learned about the risks of medical experimentation the hard way when they allowed researchers to use their infants as test subjects for a vaccine against a newly discovered illness that was dubbed RSV, a common cold-like illness that is now considered to affect virtually all children, mostly uneventfully by the age of two. And what we're seeing now, this, you know, they're trying to attribute this to something mysterious like the Delta or the Lambda variant or something. But many doctors have said that what we're seeing here, when we're seeing some respiratory illness with kids, is simply because they've been isolated for the last year. Now we're seeing a pulse in this, that this is RSV. It's not any variant of COVID. It is something that is very common, that we all go through, that we develop immunity. But the vaccine for RSV 65 years ago led to the death of two infants, and the hospitalization for a majority of the other young clinical trial participants. So now they say, well, let's do it with mRNA. Because, you know, now, you know, 65 years later, we've got immunity, legal immunity. You know, they could get sued for that. That's why they stopped it back then when you only had two die. They stopped it. Now they don't have any immunity. Now they do have immunity, I should say. And so now you've got over 32,000 people dead in Brazil following COVID-19 vaccines there, according to the official media report in Brazil. When you look at what is happening in Europe, 21,766 people dead, over 2 million injured, 50% of those seriously in the European Union's database. Here in the U.S., 12,000 people dead, over 500,000 injured. But see, 65 years ago, if you killed two people, they had liability, and you hospitalized the rest of the participants, they would stop it. Here, what they do is, with the same media that pushes war, and that's what this is war against the people of the world, the same media that is pushing war is now pushing this war, this vaccine, this depopulation, this population control. So Moderna is going to build a vaccine plant in Canada. It's all happy news for them from the Wall Street Journal. They're going to come up with, the companies are coming up with a new mRNA because, you know, mRNA, that's just the magic wand. You call it mRNA, you call it a vaccine, you can do whatever you want. And you don't have to worry about how many people you hurt or kill. It's fine. Just collect the money. Just go grab the money. The realities and dangers of vaccine-induced blood clots. How can Americans, as WND points out, make good, informed decisions about the vaccines? Especially those who have refused to capitulate to the coercion and the propaganda? Well, it's the information, and you're not going to get that from big corporate media. WND will give you good information, although they'll still cheer Trump again. Just absolutely amazing. Dr. Francis Christian said this. He said, I have not met a single vaccinated child or parent who has been adequately informed and who then understands the risks of this vaccine or its benefits. But now that the FDA has approved it, you know, they don't think in terms of that. And as I pointed out before, I know people who have had relatives die because they took an FDA-approved drug. It happens all the time. But people look at this not as a analog scale where you have escalating amounts of risk. You can't get that information from the FDA. All you know is that it's either approved or it isn't approved. So it's either safe or it isn't safe. It's a one or a zero. It's a binary way of looking at the world, and it's not sufficient. First of all, they don't give you, the FDA doesn't want to give you any of those numbers. A friend of ours whose wife died after getting a particular medication that was, at the time, FDA approved. It had been approved by the FDA. Then, based on their testing sequences, which were not sufficient, after it got into broader use, they started seeing real numbers. They saw how dangerous this was, and they took it off the market. Pharmaceutical companies then tweaked it by applying pressure to the appropriate regulators, and they approved it a second time and put it back on the market, at which point his wife got it and died. Dr. Veronica Hackenthal, back in April, said the European Medicines Agency has said that as of April 20th, there have been 287 reports of rare blood clots with low platelets after administration of the AstraZeneca vaccine. 8 of them with Johnson & Johnson, 25 with Pfizer, 5 with Moderna. The clots are notable because some are they're focusing in various organs. They're focusing in, and this is the thing. It's messing up the entire circulatory system. You get uncontrollable bleeding at the same time you get clots. And you're also getting microclots, as Dr. Charles Hoff, who's been practicing medicine for 28 years in a small British Columbia, Canada town, pointed out. He said 62% of his patients, when he went back, he started seeing that they were having these strange problems that seemed to be kind of blood clot related, but they wouldn't show up on the MRI. He did another test, D-dimer, which showed the microclots, and he said 62 of the people that he had vaccinated had these small microclots that he could observe with that. As a result, you got a lot of people who are, this is reported by KHN.org, they said, well, you got these COVID skeptics are requesting blood transfusions from unvaccinated donors. I said this a few weeks ago. I said, you may want to start thinking about saving up blood, if you're capable of doing that, at the blood bank in case you or your loved ones have to have an emergency surgery. Because otherwise, you're going to wind up getting these protein spikes that have very, very severe consequences for your blood. At a time when you're going to need something that is healthy, you're going to get this tainted blood. With nearly 60% of eligible U.S. population now fully vaccinated, most of the nation's blood supply is now coming from donors who have been jabbed with a genetic code injection. We're definitely aware of patients who refused blood products from vaccinated donors, said a blood bank. So much for safety. Let's talk a little bit about efficacy, right? I mean, you know, if you want to take this stuff after all of this, well, that's your choice. I'm not going to stop your informed consent. I'll try to warn you, but there's nothing that I would do to stop you from doing it. If you are that misinformed, that incapable of thinking critically, you're going to take something from some filthy rich corporations that are making money hand over fist and have absolutely no liability for what they're doing. If you want to take that product, go ahead. But to me, when I see a used car salesman pressuring me like these pharmaceutical companies, like mainstream media is doing, like Rachel Maddow, like Rolling Stones, like all these people, Trump, when I get that kind of pressure from somebody, I immediately back off. Life has told me that these guys are up to something, right? It's like a bad used car salesman, except much, much worse. Much, much more pressure than you've ever seen. And so how about the efficacy? Is it working? Is it effective? Well, we got fully vaxxed up Jesse Jackson, now hospitalized with this, and he's got some serious health issues as well. He's 79. His wife is 77. And besides his age, they've got some other comorbidities there as well. And he's had both vaccines, and so now he's in the hospital. You've got Slipknot's Corey Taylor is now devastated. After he tested positive for COVID-19, he says, "I'm very, very sick." Yeah, he was fully vaxxed, and now he's got a breakthrough case. It's not a breakthrough case. It's a failed vaccine. It's vaccine non-efficacy case is what he's got. One-third are not confident the vaccines will protect against the coronavirus. Well, that's pretty astounding that two-thirds believe in us. Two-thirds trust in their savior, the pharma products, pharmakia. Just remember that word, pharmakia, in Greek. It's translated, that's the word that's used in Revelations, talking about sorcery. And they repented not of their sorcery or their murders. They repented not of their pharmakia or their murders. So one-third of the people are not confident that vaccines will protect them against the coronavirus, which is just unbelievable that two-thirds are, especially when you look at the latest Public Health England data. It shows vaccine effectiveness is down to only 15% in people over 50. It looks higher for the younger people. Why? Because they didn't have any risk to start with. They didn't have a risk of dying, the younger people. This is simply a flu that affects older people. It's not like at all like the 1918 flu that affected people across every age group equally. There was no difference. This looks exactly like the actuarial table. Begins mid to late 50s, and then goes up exponentially and has essentially a zero risk for people who are under that age. Now, when you look at the 1918 flu epidemic, people who were under 1 year old and those who were above 80, they were a spike. Everybody else in all the other age groups is pretty equal across all of them, which is what you would expect with a real pandemic, but not with this. Israel wants the model for beating COVID. Faces a new surge. It's got a surge of infections going on there. Is it a breakthrough? No, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't stop people from passing it on. So again, why mandate it? Right? If it works, again, we're back to the whole thing. If it works and you take it, good for you. But if I decide that I don't want to take it, I'm no risk to you because you can pass it on. Even if you get the vaccine, you can pass it on just the same as somebody who's not vaccinated. They now admit that. What is the case then for vaccine mandates, for vaccine passports? There is no logical case for that. Their own data, their own experts are saying, yeah, the viral load is the same whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. Therefore, it should be a personal decision. But this isn't about health. This is not about science. It's not about math. It's not about critical thinking. It's about your inability to think critically. So as we look at this, and of course, as we see the people who are getting vaccinated in Israel and other places, exactly the opposite of what Trump said. The cases, the sickness actually goes up because it's the vaccine itself. It's the Trump shot itself that's getting people sick. And the gist of the exacerbation issue is the antibody-dependent enhancement, the ADE. It's pathogenic priming. The vaccine primes recipients to later develop more severe disease instead of protecting them. ADE is something that they've seen in vaccines before. It's nothing new. It's very well understood. That's why you had people who were talking about this that were in the trade. The guy who invented the mRNA vaccines. Michael Yaden and others were saying, Luc Montagné, saying it's going to be ADE because it's not, if it doesn't work effectively with your immune system, what it does is it provides cover for a virus, and it actually exacerbates things by confusing your immune system, the same way that it's confusing your circulatory system, giving you blood clots and hemorrhages at the same time. Scientists are still assessing how Israel's pandemic response plunged from a shining example. It was only a shining example in their imagination to a cautionary tale, and a stunning reversal has provided a crucial test for Israel's new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, who staked a claim for leadership partly on the strength of his manifesto, quote, how to beat a pandemic. He's a politician. He's a politician. So even they admit this. The mainstream media, the New York Times, is saying that. Well, you know, they were a shining example, and now it's been a stunning reversal. In other words, the vaccine didn't work. Actually, it's a lot worse. Israel is worse than other places. Again, Donald Trump is telling you a deliberate lie. He's telling you exactly the opposite of what the data is telling you. And he doesn't even need to have Fauci on stage. He can make fun of Fauci and the way Fauci pitches. But Trump is pitching the lies to you now without needing Fauci. He doesn't need the little horn. He's the big horn out there lying to people. Vaccinated or worried, and scientists don't have answers, says Bloomberg. New York Times, Bloomberg, it's like, what's going on? They can't get their heads around the cognitive dissonance here. No, what they're doing is they're putting fear on top of fear on top of fear. Now, let me tell you, these people, the vaccinated out there, their vaccines aren't working. The vaccines aren't stopping transmission of this stuff. And so what's their response going to be? Are they going to turn on Pfizer, Moderna? Are they going to turn on Trump and Biden? No, they're going to turn on you and I, the unvaccinated. Because that's what they've been told by the mainstream media. They've been told that we are the problem. And so no matter how sick they become, no matter how many of them die, no matter how much they're lied to, they will continue to watch media. They'll continue to cheer Trump and Biden, depending on which one of these tribes they're part of. Bloomberg says, absent clear public health messaging, vaccinated people are left confused about how to protect themselves. They were always confused because they refused to think. India is now going to have the world's first DNA-based vaccine given orally for children, ages 12 to 18. The Zydus Cadila, the world's first needle-free DNA-based vaccine. This is the headline. Yeah, they admit it's DNA modification. DNA-modifying vaccines. The mRNA modifies your DNA. They say, oh, that doesn't happen. Oh, it only copies DNA. No, it modifies it as well. We've got the scientific experiments have shown this. Thomas Jefferson University demonstrated it very clearly. mRNA can modify your DNA. Then the question is, if these people are lying to us about this or if they're ignorant about it, what exactly is happening with this? Well, you can see the adverse effects. So they've now given this clearance in India for children age 12 and up, the new DNA-based vaccine that is oral. As we see that Moderna vaccine may have an even higher heart side effect than previously thought. Of course it does, because they're only telling you about the cases that they can't cover up. They're only telling you when it kills a young athlete. Because if it's any other age, they blame it on age and comorbidities. They can't cover that up for teens. In Singapore, a teen was awarded $225,000 for a heart attack caused by Pfizer. while more than 500,000 COVID shot injuries in the U.S. get nothing. Thanks to Fauci. Thanks to the U.S. government covering for these pharmaceutical companies. But in Singapore, just one teen got $225,000. In Australia, and I showed you that picture earlier as part of what was happening in Australia, three children collapsed, two in a coma after getting vaccinated. And parents were not allowed in. They take the kids away from the parents, vaccinate them. Three of them collapsed, two of them are in a coma after the vaccination. This is what they're doing to us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about headline news. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right. And before I get into the headline news, I just want to read a couple of some emails, correspondence that we've gotten. This one is from North Carolina, Rebecca. She says, I never thought of myself as an avid consumer of news until I started listening to your show. That's good. I am a Christian who is at the late cusp of the millennial generation, a spouse of a U.S. Navy sailor. We have three young boys. I've never put a mask on my children since this pandemic began. I frequently find myself feeling like I'm living in an alternate reality, trying to live normally in the midst of insanity. Yeah, welcome to the club. Even though both of us were wearing masks as required by the military clinic where we go for primary care, the nurse stood on the opposite side of the room when I walked in with my unmasked three-year-old and said that their policy dictated that everyone 3 years and older wear a mask to be seen for an annual checkup. Oh, get away, get away. Unclean, unclean. I looked at her incredulously and I asked for clarification. I said, his birthday is today. So you're saying that yesterday he wouldn't have had to wear a mask because he was two, but he does today because he is now three? With a straight face, she replied, that's our policy. Unable to resist, I asked her, what science does the military follow to make you believe that children become virulent hazards the day they turn 3 years old? When we came in, you approached us. After I told you his age, you backed away like he had the plague. Does anyone else see the absurdity of all this? Yes. As I pointed out many times, and as I pointed out to some of the local owners of restaurants who threw me out because I refused to wear a mask. I said, you're telling me, I said, look at this restaurant. Everybody that is seated has their mask off. And here's a guy who was seated and now he's getting up and he's going to the restroom. He doesn't have a mask on. But you're telling me that I've got to wear a mask to walk 5 feet to the table. And the guy said, yes. I said, do you see how insane that is? That's our policy. That's what the government says. That's our policy. And so my policy is that you'll never see me again because I don't have to ever eat at your restaurant again. And I will never go to that restaurant or the other ones that threw me out. I'm done. It's one of the reasons why I'm going to have to move. I can't go anywhere to eat anymore. Been thrown out of too many restaurants and hotels to ever want to do business with any of these people. I can pretend in another area that it never happened, but I can't unsee what happened this last year. I will not forget. I will not forgive this of these businesses. They deserve to go out of business. Sorry. I was already going away from the big corporations. I was trying to help these people to survive, but they're not worthy to survive. They shouldn't survive. If they're going to sell this tyranny, then they're on the opposite team. And I'm not going to give money to people who sell this tyranny. Might as well just give it to Jeff Bezos. He does a better job. She again insisted that I mask my healthy three-year-old or we would not be seen. I ended the appointment and left with my son. She said, after 20 years of service, we're worried about the future of my family. My husband is set to retire after 20 years of service next October. He is strongly against the vaccine, as I am. And now the sad news is today, with the approval by the FDA, just rubber stamping it, they don't care. Yeah, just think back a few weeks. Remember we had that other drug for senility, for Alzheimer's? And you had, on their scientific advisory committee, you had 10 people say, no, it's too dangerous. One person abstained, and they did it anyway. They've never approved a drug where there wasn't a single scientist who said it ought to be approved. They did it anyway. And so you subsequently had three of those scientists say, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to be a part of this clown show here. This is just Soviet-style corruptness. They don't care about safety and efficacy. That's what you need to think about. Think about that. That was just a few weeks ago. And why did they approve that drug? Because it was so phenomenally profitable. You had some left-wing organizations that took a look at the money side of that equation. And they said, if this is approved, it's going to cost something like north of $50,000 per person. And it's going to be used as a preventative. That means that without you even having symptoms of Alzheimer's, you'll have doctors prescribing this because the big pharmaceutical companies are now calling the shots. They tell the doctors what to prescribe. You go to a hospital and the doctor looks down the chart and says, okay, here's your condition or here's your problem. They go down the chart and then they go over here and they find which one of the pharmaceutical drugs they hand you. And that's it. That's what they do to practice medicine. And so what they're saying is that they're going to do this as a preventative, which means that pretty much everybody with a baby boomer age is going to be on this chart to get this. And they said that it's going to bankrupt the country. $50,000 a year for this stuff. That's why it was approved. It's simply the money. Simply the money. That's what it was with that Alzheimer drug. It's what it is with this Trump shot. It's simply the money. So she said, and this was last week, August 19th, Thursday. She said, now it talks to the military. Going to mandate the COVID vaccine next month. They said September the 15th or when it gets approved. So it's now mandated as of today. Sorry, Rebecca, and so many of you. So we're worried about the future of our family. My husband's set to retire after 20 years next October. Strong against the vaccine. I am not sure what path to take. He is unsure how he might be able to refuse without a dishonorable discharge. And the idea of my husband being forced to leave the military so close to retirement after years of serving his country in Afghanistan and Iraq makes me sick to my stomach. I understand that military members sign up for everything that comes down the pike for them, so to speak. I guess it still feels so disheartening. Ultimately, I trust that God will keep us safe no matter what, but it's hard sometimes not to be fearful. Well, Rebecca, I would say that there are religious exemptions that they have mentioned. Even if they don't want to acknowledge your humanity and your informed consent and your individual liberty, there still remains a remote possibility that they might accept a religious exemption. I'll see if I can find out some more stuff, because now this is going to be a big, big issue with the military. And it's going to be, all the corporations are now going to be pushing mandates on steroids. That's exactly what's going to be happening. Look at what's happening on Twitter. This was actually sent to me. I've had this on my desk here for a couple of weeks, almost a month, July 27th. Twitter bots. And it's a collection of all these different accounts, Scott Dykes, Pooh, Doctor of Monera, Alex, another person, 4Change Now, another one, Jude, 5456, and they all say exactly the same thing. Quote, my brother has just tested positive for COVID, the Delta variant. He has been double jabbed. How on earth can Johnson go ahead with relaxing the rules on the 19th of July? It's madness. That was all put out there. Who do you think did that? Is that something being put out by Pfizer, Moderna, by the military-industrial complex? Because just that one picture, six different accounts. You know it's a lot more than that. And at the very beginning of this, there was a massive campaign coming out of China, a bunch of Twitter bots that were pressuring Italy. So these were focused on the UK. Boris Johnson pulling back after between 500,000 and 1 million people took the streets of London. He's, all right, July 19th, I'll change things up a little bit for you. Trying to back off of the pressure a little bit. But they had run that campaign to coerce Italy into going into a copycat lockdown of China. And it worked. And then subsequently to that, they found out that it was several hundred thousand bots and they pulled them off. But the damage was done. Because once we'd seen it done in China, once it was done in Italy, then it went the rest of the world. And so that's the way these people operate. But there's another aspect to this as well before we get into the headline news. This is about the Strong Cities Initiative and how it's playing out in Australia, for example. I've talked many times about the Smart Cities Initiative, the UN 2030 Agenda. And smart cities are a big part of that. It's the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability. And again, as I point out many times, we had for decades, they've been pushing UN Agenda 21. You look at the map, they want everybody concentrated in a few mega cities in the United States and the rest of the country to be empty. But this is a United Nations agenda. This is global agenda. This is for every country. And so they were selling Agenda 21. And city after city, they would come in with these RAND Corporation tactics. They already knew what they wanted to do, but they would bring in community leaders and they would advertise it. Anybody in the public who wants to do this, and they put you in separate groups, and then they would nudge you in a particular direction and make you think that the solution that you had come up with was something that your group had figured out, when they were steering you the entire time towards a predetermined policy that they wanted to implement. They just wanted to make you believe that this was your idea, that you now consent with it. And they did it in city after city. They did it here in Austin back in 2012. But they were doing it everywhere. And then in 2015, Agenda 21 became the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability. They got a fixed date on it because these people are... they know how to get things done. If you don't put a date on a goal, it's just a wish. And so they've got a date for which they want to put this all in. So part of that, along with UN 2030 Agenda, they came up with the smart cities. And of course, at the same time, you also had Davos talk about the Great Reset. People talk about the Great Reset. Nobody talks about smart cities. And even fewer people talk about strong cities. Smart cities were how they could take everything from you in the name of protecting the environment. Take away your meat, take away your travel, take away your power, take away your house, put you in a micro apartment in the city, locking you down. The strong city agenda is how they enforce this on you. And so this is a letter from a listener who sent an article out of Australia. It's AustralianNationalReview.com. And they point out how the Rockefeller chief that's been placed in Melbourne, Victoria, is really kind of following this Strong Cities Network agenda. And you can find Strong Cities. You'll find a lot of stuff about Strong Cities and about Smart Cities. Smart Cities are how they monitor you and how they take things away from you. Strong Cities are how they stomp on your face. Toby Kent, the Rockefeller-funded, quote, chief resilience officer, unquote, who's based in Melbourne, where we've seen the worst of this over the last year, planned out over the past 5 years how to handle the city in the event of a pandemic. And, of course, we've been planning that for 20 years here in the United States. Rockefeller funded and started the Strong Cities Network, and Melbourne has been their poster child since inception. Dan Andrews visited New York 3 years ago to learn about and then to add surveillance structures and systems into Melbourne that complement the Strong Cities Network strategies and system. The completion of the installation has taken place during lockdowns. Look at your local roundabouts and your intersections now, and this is in Australia. There has been a workforce here from China installing them. A group of these workers have been staying at a suburban hotel right by where I live, an incredible coincidence. Anyway, the premise of Strong Cities Network is that you surrender your policing policies to the network think tank that's based in London. And they produce the guidelines for you. They also provide the troops and the training on militia-style tactics. The knee on the neck is one of them. The stormtrooper approach is another. The Rockefeller Foundation and the United Nations have multiple networks in place that deal directly with city mayors and leaders of municipalities. They bypass national and state structures. It is a form of infiltration, so they do not have to go through normal layers of legal, moral, or constitutional authority. They cut through all that red tape. The longer-term goal being to do away with the government as sovereign and to do away with nationality, because these are obstacles to one-world governance, which is the ultimate underpinning goal of the World Economic Forum and the UN agendas that they signed in 2019. So the government is complicit in all of this. This is a tactic. This is one more aspect of this, a Strong Cities Network, of how they are rolling this out. And all of these things, just like Nixon's war on drugs, was a UN agenda. They detailed, planned it out 10 years before he created it. They had four different schedules. They put all the drugs in the four different schedules. They said, oh, well, Schedule 1, that is something that is highly addictive and has absolutely no medical use. So the first one we put in there is marijuana. No science to it, nothing medical to it. It was just their political agenda. But that, you know, just like the UN agenda on that, they have a UN agenda to take away guns, have UN agendas for surveillance. They have UN agendas of how they want us to have everything taken away from us. But this is why this is a global issue being rolled out in all of the countries at once. And it's being rolled out primarily, many ways, through these giant corporations. Because global governance is going to be fascistic. It's going to be a partnership between these giant multinational corporations. That's the way they make that jump to one world governance, is through these multinational corporations. They're going to work hand in glove with them. Let's take a quick look at the news here on this Monday, 23rd of August. GM has now recalled Chevy Bolt electric cars, citing battery fires. Now, who would think that an electric car would have a battery fire? Well, they've happened over and over again. First time I started seeing this was with the Nissan Leafs back in North Carolina. Several houses burned down as people were charging them overnight. We've seen Tesla situations, some of them spontaneously combusting in parking garages where they had surveillance footage. Now, GM is recalling the Bolt because of a risk of battery fires in the vehicles. They said that told owners that they would replace these defective lithium-ion battery modules. But in the meantime, set your vehicles to a 90% state of charge limitation. Charge your cars more frequently and avoid depleting their battery below a 70-mile range. The recall will cost GM approximately $1 billion, according to the Associated Press. And not to be left behind, Elon Musk. The program was over. I looked at Drudge Report on Friday. And at the top is this thing, Elon Musk introduces a robot. Really? So, yeah, this is not like the little robot that Honda has that is actually a robot that can kind of walk and do some mechanical dances and stuff. So you see this still picture of it. And it's all white, but from the shoulders up, it's black. And this is a little bit of his demonstration here that we're supposed to be impressed with. Now, as you can see, this is not a robot. This is a human dressed in leotards. And he breaks into a dance, and it's the no question at all about it. I mean, in terms of special effects, this is the worst special effects robot I have ever seen in my life. This is even worse than the monkey suits that were used in 2001 Space Odyssey. But I changed the soundtrack a little bit for it, because I think the soundtrack just doesn't match the dance that he's doing. So here we go. Oh, yeah. Maybe we could pull out a frog or something with a top hat. You know? Yeah. He's Elon Musk is really a song and dance man, isn't he? Yeah, he's a real showman, a kind of vaudeville guy. Okay, enough of that. And of course, we should have him singing Swami because he's got his robot in blackface, of course, right? Because it's, hey, you know, the word robot meant slave, and that's the way he's putting this out there. He says, we're planning on doing this. We're, as we'd say in the South, I'm fixing to do it. I'm fixing to do it anytime now. Anytime now, and it's, as a matter of fact, Zero Hedge went through a long list of things that Elon Musk has been fixing to do for quite some time now. He just hasn't got around to it. He's fixing to build a prototype humanoid robot, and the world collectively sighs. Instead of actually presenting a prototype on AI Day, the presentation went full MDMA and introduced a person in a bodysuit to break dance on stage to dubstep. But I would appreciate the Swanee River song and dance. I think that's a lot more appropriate. Musk said that the Tesla bot will be geared toward doing repetitive and boring tasks. He said it'll do dangerous, repetitive, and boring tasks. That's its goal. But, you know, maybe get it to go out and get groceries at the store. Why? Because with their plan, you're going to be locked in your house, right? So this has always been a part of this. When we talk about the strong cities and the smart cities and everything, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to have any transportation. If you go anywhere at all, it'll be with their prior approval. If you're a good little boy or girl, you do everything that they say. You believe that's the key thing. You got to believe everything they say. You've got to live by the lies that they tell you. So even though you know it's not true, you buy into that, as Solzhenitsyn said. You buy into that, you double think. You know it's not true, but you force yourself to believe that it's true. That's the ultimate totalitarianism. But you're going to be locked down. You're not going to have a job. They've got to find a way, as Bloomberg pointed out when he was running for president, they've got to find a way to keep you from coming after them, got to pacify you. That's what all the universal basic income was about. Elon Musk jumped in, giving millions of dollars to Andrew Yang because he started out pushing universal basic income. At the time it came out, it was just Andrew Yang and it was AOC in terms of the political people selling it. We'll just pay everybody a monthly allowance just to keep them pacified. And it was basic income. I mean, they're talking about $1,000 a month. $12,000 a year isn't going to get you much. And so it's pretty basic. It's kind of a communist system because it's exactly what it is. George Gilder said these people are neo-Marxist. And we laughed at the time. We said, this is AOC, Occasional Cortex, and Andrew Yang. And they're selling neo-Marxism. And they want to put a program out there that's going to cost tens of trillions of dollars. And yet, what happened? Trump did it. Trump did it with a stimulus. Trump did it with extended unemployment benefits. And Biden follows the precedent that Trump set. Precedent Trump. Musk said of the non-existent prototype, can you talk to it? Can you say, please pick up that bolt and attach it to a car with that wrench? And it should be able to do that. Please go to the store and get me the following groceries. That kind of thing. I think we can do that. Well, why don't you show people that when you actually have something that can actually do that? RT asks, why is the BBC so obsessed with promoting transgender propaganda to young people? Well, I think we know. But here's what's happening in the UK with the BBC. BBC Radio 1 is hosting a drag day. Actually, they did it on Friday, on Saturday, August the 21st. They had four drag queens hosting their own shows on radio. And as RT said, well, we don't know how that works on radio. It remains to be seen or rather heard, but the BBC can barely contain its excitement about it. Same thing that Disney did on Disney Plus. They had for Pride Month, they had some guy dressed up like a woman, and it was the most amateur. I showed a little bit of clips of it at the time. Most amateurish thing I've ever seen in my life done by Disney. Never seen anything with such low production values and such low morality. Hawking that to kids. This is exactly what was prohibited by Poland, by Hungary, and they're sticking to it. They're saying, we're not going to come after adults and tell them what to do. As the Hungarian Prime Minister said, they'll stand before God someday. But we're not going to let them do this to kids. And for that, the EU has decided that they're going to punish them. How? With money. That's how it's always done. Regular Radio 1 presenter at the BBC, Charlie Hedges, told her listeners to expect an extravaganza of energy, big tunes, and a day rave that everyone is invited to and you won't forget. Yeah, I'll never forget watching Disney Plus. Just keep that in mind if you're paying for a subscription to Netflix or to Disney Plus. You should not be funding those organizations. For children listening, the messages are mixed. Are these drag queens performing an act, or are they expressing their identity? These are muddy waters, to say the least, and the BBC has a responsibility to explain the issues clearly. No, it doesn't. Parents have a responsibility to just turn that filth off. And again, Tony Rook sued the BBC, said, in the UK, you're taxed to pay for the BBC. You have to pay a TV tax. He says, I don't want to pay my TV tax because this is a terrorist organization. They were complicit in 9/11. They knew that Building 7, the third building that was not hit by a plane, was going to come down 20 minutes before it did. They took it to court. The judge agreed, yeah, you don't have to pay the tax. These people were complicit. Everybody should do that in the UK. All of you in the UK should say, should follow on with Tony Rook and say, we're not paying because you people were complicit in a terrorist attempt, and now they're terrorizing your kids. Terrorizing your kids. Earlier this year, a BBC educational film told 9 to 12-year-olds that there were, quote, over 100 gender identities, unquote, to choose from. No, there's two. Forget about LGBT, it's Bob. Binary, objective, and biological. That's the two genders that are out there. Less than a minute into the 43-minute program, images were shown of teenagers apparently buying hormones over the internet from unregulated sources. I know it's dangerous, but I have no choice. So, see, they want to encourage them to buy hormones over the internet, but don't you get any ivermectin that they've browbeated and intimidated medical professionals from, that you don't really have an understanding of what the dosage is. No. Yeah, but you can get your hormones, your body-altering hormones. Do you feel like you're having to look after each other because no one is looking after you? Says one of the people, as they are propagandizing these young kids. They're putting out there a sense of community. This is new. This is novel. Your parents aren't hip to this, so this is something that's got to be really good. The focus throughout is on drugs and surgery. It should be on psychological issues. The cultural politics of identity is now inherently narcissistic and divisive. I've talked about in the past how you've got the L's now fighting the T's. The transgenders who want to compete in the sporting events and everything, they're fighting the L's. But it's even worse because now they're fighting over their flag. That's right, the flag that the U.S. Embassy in Kabul was so excited about, that gay pride flag, just 2 months ago. Now, you know, God is not mocked. Now the embassy is gone. But they said it's just a matter of time, says RT, before one section or another of the ever-expanding LGBTQ plus community started to demand a new version of the rainbow flag. Why? Because apparently its colors do not adequately represent black, brown, and transgender members of the LGBT community. So this is where these people are. Now they are fighting over their own flag. They will self-destruct. We just need to focus on what is real, what is true, and we need to focus on politically. We need to focus on our liberty. We need to stop what these people are doing, taking away our informed consent, taking on our kids. But the focus on all of this, because it doesn't matter if you get all of the politics right, if you don't focus on Christ, you're going to go to hell. That's the bottom line. And this country is going to go to hell if we thumb our nose at Christ, and that is already happening. When I look at this collapse, the confusion, the chaos that's there, it reminds me of nothing more than what God did on behalf of the nation of Israel when in the Old Testament, when he confused their enemy and made them just run away and kill each other or abandon each other. And that's what's going to be happening with these people. We have to not be a part of this. We have to get out of this, and we have to understand. And I'll just mention one more article here. Not even Catholic anymore. How parents turned on a school in Tampa because it became so over-the-top LGBT. They said, we thought we were going to this school. You have to understand that if you don't take control of your kids' education, they will take control of it. That's it for the broadcast today. Thank you for listening.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.